Recorded live.
Hello, this is William Fink, and this is the Chris Degania Forum Call. It is Monday, May 24th, 9 p.m., and Pilgrim's called in, and nobody else. Not that Pilgrim's not okay, but hello, Pilgrim.
Just Pilgrim.
Well, it's, yeah, you know, no, this callers have to make this program, and we don't get enough, I don't think.
Well, I guess Micah is going to go off and get a friend of his, so he ought to liven things up.
Yeah, if he gets him to call in, he's a Judeo-Christian. He's a Catholic defender. And
oh, my.
Perverter of all truth.
Yes.
Yeah, this is probably going to be the last Chris Degania Forum Call on Talk Show, I think. I think Monday, next Monday, it's going to be on the ChrisDegania.net server.
Well, that would be nice. That would be nice.
So there will be no more, I hope, open forum programs on TalkShoe.
Right now I have TalkShoe window open and TeamSpeak window open, and I have the TeamSpeak mic muted.
Okay. Right now there's...
And then I just unmute my Skype when I want this room muted. So I'm multitasking like crazy.
Yeah, well, maybe you could mute your microphone here and tell these people in the ChrisDegania.net forum that we're in talk to tonight.
Okay, I'll
there's
be
a
there.
Few people there that are not here.
I know, I see them. I'll tell them.
Today I did gardening all day. Is that what I have to talk about? If nobody calls in, I'm going to talk about gardening. Turned over a garden and went to a greenhouse and bought a bunch of tomato plants and basil plants to put in one garden. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Bill. Hey, I was going to ask you, Bill, with TalkShoe, how would I set it up to where I could use my headset with the microphone like I do with TeamSpeak? Is it that complicated?
Well,
you need Skype to call in.
You need either Skype or you need TalkShoe Pro.
Okay, well, I'll wait for my friend Scott to set, you know, to do that for me. I'll just use my cell phone because that's all Greek to me right now.
Well, right, but I don't know if you'll want to even bother with it because next week, I won't have an open forum next week, and I think that the Christaleos people, you know, the people that do the Tuesday night program are also going to move to ChrisDegania.net next week.
Okay.
So, my programs with Eli will still be here for at least a little while, and until Eli wants to move them, but basically...
Yeah.
That the open forum programs that you could call in and participate on will be on the ChrisDegania.net server.
Yeah. See, I'm set up with TeamSpeak, even though I'm just barely learning how to use this computer stuff. You know, Bill, it's all foreign to me. I've been learning on the run with your help, and Pilgrim's help, and Brian, and you know everybody in the family here has been helping me out, and it's been a tremendous. Encouragement for me.
Well, I just had three copies of my own New Testament came today that I only ordered them probably a week ago. They came real quick. I was shocked. And they straightened out the cover art to move it more towards the center, which kind of made me happy.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking would be awesome is if we could some way. And if I had the extra money, Bill, I'd do it in a heartbeat. You know, I would just, if I could afford it, if I was still working, I'd do it in a heartbeat for you, you know. And that is if we could get artists and publications to get, you know, like buy 40 or 50 of them.
Well, I might send them a copy. I tried to get them to publish it before, and that they wouldn't do it.
Why?
Well, I don't know. Ask Gwynne Hoffman. I'm familiar with them. I spoke to him several times. They spun me for 6 months, and he's got Yeah, you know, Ted Whelan's on his knees under his desk. I'm sorry. Ted Whelan's Ted Whelan's his butt wife. Yeah, you know, he publishes all of Ted Whelan's books. And Ted, I'm the last guy Ted Whelan will want to hear from. Well, I mean, it might be a toss-up between me and Clifton. Ted Whelan, he publishes all Whelan's books. And if that's his mindset, well, he's probably never going to publish any of my books.
That doesn't make sense to me, though. That is not right, Bill. You know? I mean,
are they one seed line, no devils
Well, I don't know what Lynn Hoffman's actual mindset is, but he publishes Ted Whelan's books. He does a lot of good work, you know, publishing E. Raymond Capps books and a few other things. But
didn't Capps own Artisan?
I have no idea.
I think he did.
I think
Capps owned Artisan, and I think those people, whoever took over after him, must either be family or it's still family related. If they're a bunch of one seed line, no devils, I don't think they're going to publish anything that's contrary to what they think.
Yeah, right.
It's
Lynn Hoffman of Hoffman Publishing.
Yeah.
That's the actual company.
Yeah.
Hello, RT. How you doing? Ain't heard
from
you in a while.
Doing great. Doing great. Thought I'd call in and put my two cents in.
Great.
Yeah, I encourage everybody to get your New Testament translation. Probably most of the people have here. And I was rereading The Great Impersonation by Eli today at supper, and it really fine work.
Great.
Yeah. I'm going to ask another question. Let me let it come back to my mind. So is it easy to get on that new carrier?
Excuse me? Oh, you haven't been there yet, have you?
I haven't got on yet.
You got to get on. You got to go to let me put the link in right now. You got to go down.
I wrote it down. I've got it here. It's christogeneanet.net. Right?
Right, and go to the connect page. And I just typed it into my word processor. I got four computer screens in front of me. And I can't get the right one.
Well, Gerald's saying hi to us all.
Hello, Gerald. There.
Now I remember the question I wanted to ask you. What, you know, a lot of people that I've been speaking to are really fearful that 90 days, all hell's going to break loose in 90 days.
Well, you know, Robert Balakaius, he sent out a whole list of prophecies from various individuals that the end of the world is coming in 2010 and we're all going to be starving to death by September and this and that. And I just can't wait until 2011. So I could send this back to Robert Balakaius and ask him why he's feeding the culture of fear.
Yeah.
And buying into all this bullshit. I mean, I'm not saying nothing's going to happen, but why are Christians afraid that anything's going to happen?
Yeah.
Where's your faith?
That's right. We're not given to the spirit of fear.
And I don't care about the news, and I don't care about what clown is predicting what tomorrow. Nobody can predict anything as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, other than Hollywood, they seem to predict a blowing up of oil rigs in the Gulf.
Well, yeah, right. And this isn't the first time that's happened, right? When lightning strikes the same place, the same tree, three or four times in a row, something's up with that, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing they predict everything. Makes you wonder.
Well, right, but we don't know what the beast is going to do.
No.
Nobody knows the mind of Yahweh, and probably not too many people know the mind of the Rothschilds and Goldman Sachs either.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah. Yahweh laughs.
Well, I'm sure he's laughing at the Rothschilds and Goldman Sachs because they think they've got it just about finished, and they got some surprises coming.
Yes, they do. Yes, it is.
However, we shouldn't be feeding that culture of fear. Christians should trust in.
Well, that's the reason I brought it up, as I thought you'd have a good take on it.
And that's why I don't mess with it. You don't see me recirculating all those garbage emails. They're garbage to me. I don't. Guys ask me to send that stuff out to my list, and I don't. I mean, my list isn't that big. It's only a couple of hundred people, but I'm not sending them that crap. I'm sure they get enough of it from Balakaius and Eli emails, remails, a lot of that stuff, and Dan Johns, and let them do that. I ain't going to get caught up in that.
Yeah, I think that we focus on the word. The word of God does some amazing things. You know, my father had been quite a reprobate most of his life, and I hadn't talked to him for about 9 years due to some things that he did inappropriate. But my aunt convinced me to talk to him again, so it's been really nice. He's been very careful of saying anything, you know, negative about Yeshua or any, you know, anything along those lines, because he knows exactly what happens. That'll be it. Anyway, though he has a general understanding, he's never really understood the scriptures. And he said, well, you know, he said, you do pay for all your sins. And I said, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And that really hit home with him. And it's, you know, it's the word of God that that does, it is a, it's a living thing. And he literally in this last 3 months is really changing around quite a bit at 82. So it's a strange thing. Good thing. We need to preach the word in season, out of season, right, Bill?
Absolutely, and that's the way it should be. And we should always be prepared to teach the word and to know it and to have it in our hearts and in our minds and that's what's important. And when the stock market's going to crash or when Babylon's going to fall or what Obama's going to do or what the Jews are going to do tomorrow, that's not important.
Yeah. Did you get that link that Eli sent out to that, I think his name was Bill Anderson, a Baptist preacher in Arizona?
I don't click on all Eli's links. I'll end up with Zechariah Sitchin or something just crazy.
Hey, let's not stretch it.
I'm being dead serious. I'm being cruel, but I'm being dead serious.
Well, anyway, this is Bill Anderson. At least he was speaking out against the Sodomites and the you know, the people that profess their sins and you know, have no shame. And it was a guy that doesn't know who Israel is, but he does know what the Word of God says. At least he knows the law. He knows the law isn't done away with. And he runs this church there in Arizona, and he hasn't graduated from a school of theology. And, of course, that's the reason he can actually preach the Word of God. You know.
Yeah, right. I mean, you go to those schools of theology, and you're done. You're a Freudian. You're not a Christian.
Yeah, yeah. I had a client give me a big CD collection, The Gospel Law and Reformation by Professor Philip Carey. Carey is a Irishman. If you saw the picture of him, he can't get any more Irish than this man. And he's a director, though. Here he is, director of philosophy program at Eastern University, former Eastern College at St. David's, Pennsylvania. And the fact that he's a philosopher means he can't understand the scriptures.
Yeah, you know, when I read all of the classics, well, as many classics as I could read in 10 years is basically what I've read.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally 100% avoided the philosophers.
Yeah.
I read all the poets, and I read all the historians and the playwrights because I read the tragic poets, the makers of plays, it is basically what they were, but they're called the tragic poets. And I read them because in the earliest centuries of Greek writing, most of what was written was poetry. I mean, Herodotus is the first real linear historian whose works have survived. And that's maybe 430 to 450 B.C., writing about mostly about events that happened in the early 5th century B.C. So you really have to get a fuller picture, you really have to read the tragic poets. So I read the poets and all the historians I could get my hands on, but I stayed away from the philosophers.
Their houses are built on shifting sand.
Well, right. That's the way I looked at it. And there's probably some good tidbits here and there of historical knowledge, unless you're reading the Plato Atlantis story, which is just crap. There probably is in a lot of it, but I avoided it.
Well, that was wisdom. The spirit told you not to do it.
Yeah, right. And I won't read it. I won't. It's mental hygiene. I won't read Aristotle or Plato or any of that.
Was it Paul that was expressly forbidden to go to the Orient?
That's really a misconstrued. And Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comperet totally blew that verse.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He was never forbidden to go to the Orient. He was forbidden to go to Asia. Now, Asia is westernmost Anatolia. That's the Roman district of Asia. And Paul was forbidden to go to Asia because the Spirit wanted to guide him to Macedonia. Okay? The Spirit wanted him to go to Macedonia. Now, this is what we're not told in the book of Acts. We're not told in the book of Acts, but we are told in the book of Romans, chapter 15. That Paul went to Illyria. Now, if Paul went to Illyria, it had to be while he was in Macedonia. Macedonia is on the way to Illyria. It's the next stop, right? Now, Illyricum is the chief city of Illyria, and that's where Paul went. He went to Macedonia, but he also went to Illyrica. And that is in Romans 15 that he did that. Now, the profound thing about that is that Paul went to Illyria before he went to Asia. That means that he went to a dispersion of the Dardans before he went to the Dorian Greeks of Asia.
Hmm.
Well, which Asia was mostly Romans and Dorian Greeks, but there were a lot of Dorian Greeks. Now the Rome had already received the gospel.
Right.
Rome received the gospel before Paul ever got there. But the Dardans were also descended from Trojans.
That were the Dardans.
They were also Zara, Judah.
Okay.
And Yahweh says, I will save the tents of Judah first. All of the tribe, every branch of the tribe of Judah received the gospel before Paul brought it to the other Greek tribes. Got that?
That's
something that everybody in identity misses. Now,
I missed it.
When Paul came back from Macedonia, he went to Asia because Ephesus is in Asia. Peter wrote to the assemblies of Asia, the seven churches of the of the Revelation are all in Asia.
Hmm.
And that Asia to the Romans is westernmost Anatolia, or what we know today as Western Turkey, that westernmost Turkey. Maybe the western quarter of Turkey was the Roman, maybe third was the Roman province of Asia. And Ephesus, Smyrna, Laodicea, all of those cities are in Asia.
Now, the Parthians, how do they fit in?
The Parthians are descended from the Scythians.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
They are Scythians that really left. Well, they never really left Persia. That they were eventually defeated and
absorbed.
A lot of them probably were absorbed, and a lot of them probably migrated. It's hard to tell because I don't think anybody has. I don't think anybody has a full picture of the end of the history of the end of the Parthian Empire. But it is evident that a lot of the customs of chivalry, the chainmail that was worn by knights, and the idea of knighthood, that was all developed in Parthia to a great extent.
Well, I think that the fact that the historians largely avoid even talking about Parthia is an interesting fact in itself, and it identifies.
Well, Josephus makes it absolutely clear that the Parthians and the northern so-called barbarians, and this is in my paper, Scythians, Persians.
Oh,
Parthians,
yes.
Yeah, it's in my paper on the Parthians, mm-hmm. and Josephus makes it absolutely clear that they're dispersed Israelites. They're Israelites of the Assyrian.
Isn't that where the three wise men came from? Was from Parthia?
Well, they came. You see, the wise men, the Magi, that was a priesthood amongst the Medes and the Persians. But yes, the Parthians, they were still in that land when the Parthians ruled it. But the Magi dates back to the days of, I mean, Herodotus talks about them at length. And that dates back to the days of the Medes and the Persians. Now, Herodotus calls them a priesthood, but he also calls them a tribe. But sometimes that word tribe, phulos, sometimes that's used with the idea of caste, like a caste. Yeah, you know what
gotcha.
I mean? People
yeah,
are just
right.
class.
Yes.
And that's probably a poor
group.
Judgment. Poor language judgment on the part of the Greeks, but they use that word in that manner sometimes. But it may be that if Herodotus is calling them a tribe, that he means that only members of a particular tribe belong to that, the Magi. But it's hard. It's conjectural to try to say that the Magi were Levites to go that far. That's awfully conjectural.
Yeah. If they are Israelites, it would be a likelihood, though. There's no way of proving it.
Right. There's just not enough written about them. I mean, Herodotus wrote a bit about them, but not enough.
Hey, Bill?
Yes.
Yes. The people of India, actual India, there's a lot of Indians here in the Bay Area. Most of them, are like doctors and attorneys and, higher class, upper middle class.
Yeah, right. They get free education practically in India, and then they come here and loot and pillage America. All right, go on.
No, but I'm like, what?
Well, that's what happens. I mean, that's what happens.
I know, but question, Bill, is the Indian people originally... Weren't they originally all Adamic at one time?
No, the Dravidians were never Adamic. The Untouchables were never Adamic.
Okay, well...
There were great injections of Adamic blood into India, but it's all mixed with the black races of India.
So that's where they get their dark tint skin then?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, that's what an Arab is.
Okay, so what happened in
They set up a caste system to try to prevent that, but it didn't work. Lust and money always win out over social discipline. Always.
Yes. Yeah, but you're right. I never thought of that. They do get free education in India, especially a lot of it's from our foreign aid that goes there, too, which sucks.
Well, yeah, they get educations for free, and they come destroy our nations because they really don't. They're really not that intelligent. In fact, they're really pretty damn stupid. But when you polish up an eighth and give him a diploma, he looks good for a while. I mean, that's the way it is.
Okay.
I think most of them are of subpar intelligence and not qualified for the jobs that they've been trained for. But the Jew doesn't care. You see, what the Jew cares about is importing a whole lot of doctors that'll work for $30,000 a year, $40,000 a year. Well, we're American doctors that spend $500,000 trying to get their education and trying to become doctors, that they Yeah, you know, when you make a $500,000 investment or $1 million investment, you want a return on that investment. But in Bombay and New Delhi, there is no investment. The schools are virtually free. So they'll come over here and undercut our doctors by $100,000. And that's what's going on. That's what went on in Britain, and that's what's going on here.
Yes, if you're going to go to a doctor, you definitely want to check out his medical schooling and his board status and all that sort of thing.
I told the prison I was in had an Indian doctor. He was Pakistani, I think, and I told him point blank, I said, I'd hang myself before I let you give me an aspirin. He
well,
didn't know what to say to that.
And so you went to New Delhi, you definitely want a different doctor.
Yeah, well, it's incredible that white Americans would go to these people for cures. I mean, there's nothing more contrary to the word of God than that. Get pharmakia from an alien. That's just crazy. Now, no wonder why this nation's being punished. We deserve every bit of it.
Yeah, Bill, because you're right. My neurosurgeon, he's a white Adamite. He told me he spent almost $600,000 he's got invested and 15 years of schooling. He's 39
right.
years old. You know, he went right here to San Francisco State University Neurosurgical Spinal College, a university here.
And then they let Punjab in with a dot on his head. His whole education cost $25.
Right. And he commented to me about that, about the foreigners. See, the orthopedic, the neurosurgeon staff that did my spine surgery, when they took out my two discs and my bottom of my back, Bill, they were all white. And right at the time, about 3 months ago, they hired a couple foreigners, a couple Indian surgeons. And Dr. Talwar, my surgeon, he was upset because they come in, jump right on the bandwagon. They start out at a base pay of $80,000 a year, you know, to where he never got that break. He had to start out on his own with no salary. He had to build his own clientele.
I'm really surprised they pay him that much. I've heard the horror stories about them working for a lot less.
Well, this is in the Bay Area. Now, I don't know what it is in the Midwest and stuff. I imagine it's a lot less money here in the Bay Area.
Well, that's where we should send all the that's where we should send all the Indian doctors, to the Bay Area.
The place is full of them.
The fags in San Francisco, they don't deserve any better. Those liberals who vote for Barbara Boxer don't deserve any better.
No, it was just a shame because they spent almost, you know, a little over $500,000 on me. And I asked my surgeon, I said, I hope you got something out of all this BS that we've been through, that I've been through this last 18 months. He said, Mike, he said, I made $78,000 on your surgery. He said, I have to spend $150,000 a year just in premium out of his own pocket, out of his own income, just for malpractice insurance. $150,000 a year, he told me he has to pay.
Oh, the malpractice insurance is unbelievable. For doctors and attorneys, it's incredible.
Yeah, but he said if he was willing to take a base salary and submit himself to a regular medical firm, he would only make about $75,000-$80,000 a year start pay, but then he wouldn't have any real overhead. He would have to be submitted and you know, do what he's told,
right,
whatever the medical firm tells him to do, and he didn't want to subject himself to that.
Ken says that the Indians aren't stupid, that they're demanding. They're demanding, they're arrogant, but they have no abstract thinking capability. And that's from my personal experience, that's what I believe. That they have no ability to think in the abstract or to calculate various outcomes with several possible variables. I've worked with them. I've worked with them on computer projects. I've worked with them on IT projects for the state of New Jersey. I worked, you know, back in my first career, and that they failed. They were horrible. I worked with them in court, EJ Corvettes. When I was a kid, I worked with two Indians that were absolutely horrible. I had the last company I worked for, the lawn and garden company in 96, had an Indian quality control manager stormed into my office and swore that I stole the icons off his screen. And my boss, was the vice president and chief operating officer of this company, just laughed and walked out of the room. He didn't know what to say. It was crazy.
Is that like the Negro who said you stole his language?
Yeah, right. The same way. I mean, you know, every once in a while, if you shut down your computer abruptly in Windows, all the icons, for some reason, the program manager INI file gets corrupted, and all the icons are actually, they're actually off the screen, and that's what happened. Yeah, you know.
Hiding. Yes.
Well, right. And you just have to go into that file and edit it manually to get your icons back in the middle of the screen so you could rearrange them. And that was an old Windows 3.1 problem. It happened from time to time. But he came back from a week's vacation and stormed into my office and said, "You stole my icons." I swear it was the funniest thing ever. It was the funniest thing I ever heard until the Negro said that we stole their alphabet. But, yeah, that's a true experience. And this guy's a college-educated quality control engineer. Absolutely incredible. Vikas Dangi was his name. V-I-K-A-S-D-A-N-G-E. Yeah, I don't think they're that intelligent at all. Everybody thinks these Asiatics are smart. If they were smart, they'd do something in Asia. I mean, look at the place. And look at India. Look at it's a filthy pig pen. That those people aren't smart. That they're living in a sewer. How could they be smart? Smart people don't live in sewers. You dress them up. You take them out of the jungle, and that they learn how to read and write English, and all of a sudden they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Well, it's an extension of the fact that they are so spiritually advanced and highly developed and sensitive. You know.
Yeah, right. The problem is that we are stupid from 100 years of Jew distractions and Jew entertainment. We are stupid. That's the problem.
Some of us.
Well, I would say most of us as a race. Most of us are completely dumbed down idiots.
Yes.
Go to school and get your 12 years and your diploma and your 4 years and your degree, and you think you know everything you need to know for the rest of your life. That's the typical American attitude I've run into.
Well, nothing in American society says standards anymore. No standards, no values, no quality, nothing.
Right, it's all gone. Everybody's equal.
Everybody's all got to be one big common denominator and find the lowest thing you can, and that's what we want to be. So let's all be wiggers, you know?
Well, that's what it's boiled down to. That's our society today, the Jewish ideal. That's what we're living, and it's not quite there yet, but they've got it almost there. Well, Michael, I guess your buddy ain't showing up.
They're with me. I called back. I left him a message on a cell phone. He told me he wanted to gather his information and questions to ask you. Don't go, Bill. Don't go away. Let me call him
I'm
back.
I'm not going anywhere. You don't have to call him. I mean, it's
no, I'm anxious. I'm anxious, Bill. Seriously. Because, I mean, for you to talk with him, you know, and I appreciate your endurance with me through everything this last month and a half of knowing you. And I told him about your notes. He got excited about that. He was happy to hear about your notes. But I'm going to get those downloaded and go get them printed out at Kinko's, you know. And well, let me call you guys back, Bill, and see if I can reach him to get on the horn, okay?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I'll be back. Bye.
And does anybody have Trader Joe's markets around them?
Not here.
No. Well, they're kind of a chain out this area. Yuli Pop says I wouldn't eat any. It made me think of the fact that you got really have to watch what you buy now. I know at Trader Joe's, you look on the packages, and they are not all this, all the food items now that you take home and eat. Not all the food items are made right here. And I don't mean they're made in Canada or made in Italy. They're made in, like, India.
Yeah, the food is made in India.
Packaged food. Well, it's Indian food.
Oh, so it's authentic crud.
Yeah, okay. And they're bringing it in from India. Now, I am not eating that. I'm sorry.
No, I wouldn't eat it. There's no way I would eat it.
And the first time I found it out was I bought some and brought it home, just assuming. And I looked, I went, whoa.
Yeah, there's no way I'm eating that. Bottom feeders. Who, the Indians? Yeah, they probably are. Oh, the shrimp.
Indians, oysters, all the same thing.
Unclean feet. There's no doubt they're unclean beasts.
Well, I wouldn't buy those pickles, guest Dan.
Hey, Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yes, did I hear you ask about Trader Joe's?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're all over here in the Bay Area.
Oh, yeah, California. Yeah, they're
definitely
a chain in California. Watch before you buy anything there. Always look on the back of the package and see where it was manufactured.
I never thought. See, I never go there. That's a little out of my price range these days, you know.
Yeah.
I used to, when I was working and working out every day, I would go there and get their organic vegetables and stuff and their fruits and run them through my juice machine, you know, because they always
uh-huh.
had real good, they had excellent produce, you know. They said
uh-huh.
it was organic. And I used to go there, but they're kind of pricey now, you know. And,
I don't buy a lot there, but there are a few things I get. But in their frozen section, yeah, definitely. And their cans and packaged food, definitely look on the back.
I'll keep that in mind. I'll mention that to my wife and let her know.
Yeah. They had some Indian food there that was made in Denmark. And I thought, knowing the way those countries have been invaded lately by mud, I wouldn't trust the manufacturing plant that was made in. I think I'll pass.
Yeah, you got a point there. I never thought about that. I
no, I'm not.
Go, you know.
Well, what was hot in the news this week? Someone tell me, because I haven't been following it.
I don't.
What about that story?
I never watched the news. Never. It's just too discouraging.
What was up with that story that Eli mentioned with Greg about the two, the dad and his son that were killed, shot by the police? They were white nationalists or something, or he had some former connections with Aryan nations, and they were supposedly accusing them of having killed a couple of cops, but they feel it was a setup.
And they were entirely unarmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, our police are out of hand. It's happening all over the country. They're on edge, that they want to shoot people. To me, that indicates that they're being trained. That the public is the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, for this many police shootings to be going on, the cops have the mindset that the public is the enemy. That's the inevitable result is what's going on.
Yeah. It's like, on one of these shows, someone mentioned in their local newspaper, they said, I don't think it was you. Somebody was saying that they were running army tanks through their local local neighborhoods, and the news was saying that they were doing this so that everyone would get used to seeing, oh, it was Greg Howard, I think, that was saying that. So everyone would get used to seeing military vehicles in their, you know, around their home and in their cities. And he was saying, and exactly why do I have to get used to seeing military vehicles in my neighborhood? You know, that's why they were running these military exercises in his area.
Yeah, we got right here in Dublin, right where I live, Pilgrim, here in California, about 20 miles east of Oakland. They have about 7,000 acres of beautiful rolling hills, you know, that the military owns, a big army military base here. And they have their, you can see where they're having all of their training and the reconnaissance. They set up their tents, the helicopters fly in and out. And now they're having training all year round here, right here in this, at this facility, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And it's another thing here in California, especially the Bay Area, if you're white, you do not want to get pulled over in this town. I pulled up to go get some bag of ice at the 7-Eleven, and this black cop, Livermore cop, on a motorcycle pulls up. He starts, pulls out his pad, starts writing down my plate number, and I waddle back to my truck and go, "What's the matter, officer?" He says, "You're in a handicap." I said, "Well, there's my handicap sticker on my mirror." He goes, "Well, I couldn't see it." I said, "Well, at least, you know," I said, "it's right there." "Oh, okay." And he closed his notebook, got on his bike. He goes, "Wash your window so I can see it next time."
Oh, that's it, yeah.
He wouldn't even look through the side window of my pickup. You know, I have I was driving my Suburban, 05 Suburban. I live on the ranch. Well, with the moisture in the air, the back, you know, the back window gets a little, you know, clouded with dust. I don't wash it.
But you can still see a handicap placard. You can see a dark shape hanging down from a mirror, unless it was caked with mud. Unless your window was caked with mud and, you know, you couldn't see through it.
Well, he looked hard. He goes, "Oh, there it is. I see it." I said, "Why are you so anxious to write?" And I go, "Why are you so anxious to write me a ticket? What have I done wrong?"
They got to make that quota. It's fine. Personally, got to make that quota.
Yeah.
They look to make that quota. They look for victims. I mean, he probably preferred white victims, but they look for victims. And that's not even true, too, because I've known a lot of black cops, and they usually pick on the niggers more than they pick on the whites.
And I shouldn't say that. I just know from talking to people, though, like some of my friends, that most of them have been incarcerated over on technicalities, you know, or where they were defending themselves. And I got four buddies that have all been victimized because of that. And they told me their experience with black cops has been horrible. And they're white guys, just like we are, construction workers.
Yeah, but they love to beat up their own. Which is fortunate for us. I've seen it many times.
Hey, Bill, you made a comment once. There was a lot of you had a revelation. You said, you said something to the fact, I don't remember how you worded it, something to the fact about North Korea sending over their bombs and bombing this country. You said it would be a blessing. Get rid of all the Jews.
Well, yeah, if they hit the cities on the West Coast, it probably would be a blessing. Get rid of half the fags, a third of the Jews, and half the Mexicans. They'd be doing
right.
Us a favor.
No
doubt.
Right. See, 75%, almost 75% of the census of California right now is Mexican and black, the state of California. We got almost 35 million people in this state.
Well, I don't know about people.
Okay. All right. Well, that's right. They're called Homo sapiens, right?
No, because that makes them wise men. They can't be Homo sapiens.
Okay. What do you call it then? They're called Homo. Do you make
animals?
A name?
Animals works. Hominids.
No,
works.
Hominid. That's hominid. Oh yeah.
The census people are getting a lot of heat, I think. You know, I mailed in the form, right? Then I get a note on my front porch saying, 2 weeks later, saying some census worker had come by and he'll either come by again or I can call the office. So I called the office and I said, I mailed in the form. Why are you bothering me? Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I said, fine. Here's the information again. White, Caucasian, one. And what about your, I said, no, you get to count heads. That's all. You just counted my head. That's all I'm giving you. I said, oh, yeah, everyone's getting very upset about that. I said, okay, thanks. And I hung up. And about a week and a half later, I'm in the middle of chaos with dogs and computer. And someone knocks on the door, which sends the dogs into an even bigger frenzy. And I open the door, a crack, and I look out. And here's this woman, and she has census written all over her. It's wearing an apron, you know, it says census on it. And I just lost it. I said, what is it with you people? Why are you here again? And I mean, I just went off on her.
Right, they were hoping you changed your mind or something. They yeah, I know. We I gave my mother advice on how to fill out the first census form, and it was basically white, Caucasian, three, right?
Yeah.
And she sent it off, and she sent it off like that, and then she got another census form in the mail, and I think she got upset with me. And she filled it out, but I don't care what she wrote. I'm past that point. I'm not going to argue with her about it. But
oh yeah, no, I got two in the mail too. And you know it's ridiculous because when you mail the thing in, you have to have that barcode in the window, right? Which tells them they run it under a scanner. It tells them this particular address has responded, even if they haven't scanned the form yet. So why am I getting more forms and a call, more visits and, you know.
Because they don't want to take no for an answer. They want to know what kind of underarm deodorant you use. They want to know everything. They want to know where you buy your food. That they want to know everything. That's what religion you are. That they want to know whether or not what you're one of those evil white conservatives.
I should aim the gun out the door at her. That would have answered her question.
Yeah, well.
I just finally got up. And she was trying to conduct a conversation. I said, look, you know, I've been done this now several times. I finally said, look, I said, look, white Caucasian won, okay? Goodbye. And I shut the door. And she went away. I haven't heard from them again yet.
Yeah, it's draconian, the things that they're doing. It's a tyranny, there's no doubt. That the Jews want to know what their success rate is. You know how many real whites are left?
Yeah.
That possibly aren't brainwashed yet.
Yeah. I don't know.
And white people keep letting them get away with it, so they deserve the punishment.
Yep.
Hey, Bill, do you believe we have to get our peace and sound mind to the fact that God is in control and he knows those that are his and that he will ultimately bring us through this mess?
Well, I mean, that's the true Christian hope. But most Christians, they don't even know there's a mess. Most Christians don't know there's a mess. Come on.
Yeah. No, they don't.
No, nowadays, because see where I'm at, they have what they call, I don't know if you guys have heard of them, they're called seeker-friendly churches. Big, you know, where they're running, they're running 7,000 to 10,000 people on a Sunday. You know, I mean, they're big, the Harvest churches, the Calvary Chapel churches, you know. And the majority of them, most of the people that go to these churches where I'm at here, most of them are, you know, Caucasian. You've got some mixed Orientals, and you got maybe 25% black, I'd say. But as long as they keep preaching the self-help, good credit score, God's going to bless you,
Well, right, but it's the churchgoer's fault because he doesn't open his Bible and see the message is quite the opposite.
Exactly. And when I got disabled and I was going to get my Social Security disability and my pension, and I went to U.S. Bank to open up my account, and set up everything on auto pay. The guy that helped me, he was a mixed between Black Oriental and Mulata. And he goes, you need to come to my church. He pulled out of like his church business card. It's like a, you know, like a purpose, whatever they call it, the purpose life type of church. It's a mega church. And I just told him I wasn't interested. You know, I said, I don't believe that we should be mongrelizing, like, you know, wrongalizing the congregations like they do. I said, I have a conviction against that. He didn't even know what I was talking about. He was completely, that was Greek to him. He had no clue. You know, I took him to Deuteronomy 23, and I believe it was Exodus 5. But they're taught the concept that, hey, God is love, and that's it. And,
well, Jude says pretty plainly that fornication is the pursuit of different flesh. I know it says strange flesh in the King James, but the word is heteros. It's an adjective, and it means different.
Yes. In fact, I was reading on Clifton's site here about a week ago on that. Clifton, and I forget what commentary, he was using an older commentary and tracing that word heteros and showed going back about, I think it was probably 60, 70 years ago. I'm thinking maybe older than that. And they put right in there, race mixing, mixing of the blood. Clifton did a real good research on that. That was really, you know, it was fun to read, you know, research that on his site.
Great. So the I'm going to make another announcement for the people that haven't been there yet, because I know there's a few people here that haven't been there yet. This is the last Christogenia Open Forum program, Monday Night Forum program on TalkShoe. Next week, it'll be on the Christogenia.net server. And if you want to listen to the program, you should probably go to Christogenia.net to the Connect page and learn how to connect to the Christogenia.net server. It's really easy. And nearly 70 people have already done it.
Yep.
And you don't need a headphone if you don't want to talk. But if you want to, you know, participate, you need a microphone with a headphone, with a headset.
Okay. But, Bill, if Daryl uses his cell phone next week, if he comes by, he uses his cell phone and he uses the push to talk, then, and he puts on my headset and he uses the push to talk, if he comes and uses my computer, uses my headset and uses the push to talk, then I should be able to listen through my little speakers on my computer while you respond back. Am I correct on that?
Well, yeah, right. I mean, that has to be coordinated a little better. Yeah, you know, make sure you let the button go when you're done talking, right?
Sure.
MacDog, a microphone built into your PC is fine, but you have to have earphones. Otherwise, there's all kinds of feedback if you want to participate. You don't need earphones to listen. All you need is a speaker, just like you have here.
Yeah, just make sure I push it. I'll disconnect the speaker part of the mic so I can hear you respond back when you talk to Daryl, and I'll make sure he uses the push to talk, just like a CB radio.
Yeah, well, that might work. But I don't know. I'm not, Warrior Son of David, I don't think he's been there yet. I could be wrong, yeah, you know, and Joe Pennsylvania and Kinsman. That might be about it here. But the Tuesday night program, those people are also very eager to move that program to the Christogenia.net server also. And that'll probably happen next week too. Those people are more eager to move off TalkShoe than I am. and Eli's programs will they'll probably stay on TalkShoe for a while, but it's up to the group and that's up to Eli. That's I'm not going to twist Eli's arm to come to the server that I set up. I'll continue to do the program. friends with him on Talk Show for as long as he wants to stay here.
Yeah.
Even though the ChrisDeGhenia.net server is much more reliable. You won't get bumped. It'll be very rare. And we're not at Talk Show's mercy, which is absolutely horrible. Getting bumped
right.
15 times a program, there's no quality experience there.
Well, Phil, on the TeamSpeak, is there a way they would be able to have access to where they could dial in with a cell phone like I'm doing right now with you?
No, there's no telephone. I don't have a PBX hooked up to my server. I mean, there's
okay.
no telephone involved. There's
okay.
no way to get a telephone involved. There's a lot of technical hurdles there.
Okay.
Yeah, Gerald, I don't think Eli's going to move this weekend. And I don't think we should move that quickly. I'd like to – I'll keep my foot in the door with – you know, with Talk Show. I might even upload some of the recordings to here, and I'll keep this call open. Warrior Son of David, I get – you know, ChrisDeGhenia.org, my main website, it gets 200 visits a day. And we don't have – and 40% of them are new visitors. And we don't have 200 people here, I mean, ever, right? I mean, I do everything I can to get the word out. That's what can I do? What more can I do?
Well, Bill, you've done everything you can. You've exhausted yourself, you know. I know you have. And
I'm fine. I'm just I like to think I'm just getting started, but I think I've done more to I don't want to beat my chest, but. Well, with all my websites and everything I got online, I've probably done more to spread the identity message than most other identity pastors have done their whole damn lives.
Oh, by far. You know what would be awesome if we could financially afford it is set up to where, like, you had your own little bookstore and your notes, and people can go into the PayPal, like I have my little PayPal account, and just go ahead and just click and, you know, and be able to get material from you, you know, set up a little bookstore. You know, if a guy could, but I know it takes money to do that.
Well, right. I don't want a bookstore. I just want to, you know, Yahweh, well, we try, we have to try. But nobody's going to come into this message if God doesn't call them. That's the way it is.
Right. Not all, in other words, Bill, not all the sheep are all going to come in at one time.
Well,
right?
Well, not all of them are even, I mean, we're lucky. A remnant's a remnant. And if we believe we're the remnant and we have the truth, we have to know that wide is the path to destruction. And that's just the way it is.
So you don't think
in other words, most of our people are going to stay with the mainstream churches and the mainstream false religions until the very end.
Until the very end. Because, see, I was going to ask you to help me understand Romans 5. Because in Romans 5, it seems like, in Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15, verses like 21 to 24, it seems like that the Lord is going to bring these sheep in, you know, like different intervals to me. You know, I don't know how to understand Romans 5. I'm thinking that ultimately the sheep will eventually, you know, be restored at some point.
We'll be restored, but that doesn't mean that people are going to wake up before they have to or before the last minute. I mean, you could mark my words. When Yahshua Christ returns, when the wheat and the tares are separated, there are going to be white people mad at God for hurting those poor goats, for getting rid of those poor goats.
I hear you. But when Christ comes back, that's when you and I, at that point, we will pick up our immortal body, right, and rule and reign on this planet.
Well, that's what 1 Corinthians 15 says. That's the Christian hope.
Yeah, and now while if we're ruling and reigning, and we pick up a body like Jesus, like Yeshua had, where we could go into the heavenly dimension and then manifest in the earthly dimension, there's still going to be other Adamic people in a mortal state, won't there, at that point in time, on the planet, on the earth?
Well, that's not what 1 Corinthians says.
Okay, well that's why I need your help and help me understand.
Well, go back and read it again. You shall not all sweep, but you shall all be changed.
That's right. Okay. That's right, and Paul's contrasting between those that sleep versus those that perish.
The preaching of the gospel is folly to those who are going to die. That's what Paul says. So if there weren't people on this planet that were going to die, meaning have no more spiritual existence, then why would Paul say that?
Right.
Or if that's talking about physical death, then why is the gospel being preached at all?
That's a good point.
But then again, I'm not sure if the King James translation even got any of that right. I don't remember how the King James reads that.
Yeah, because you know what it is, Bill? Is
but he counts the cross as folly to those who are going to die. But to those who are being preserved, to us, it is the power of Yahweh. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18 in my translation.
Yes. Because see, a lot of the Israel teachers, they teach that we just all sleep.
A lot of them are still caught up in Catholicism or Methodism or Episcopalianism or wherever the hell they came from.
Yeah, that sleeping thing is doesn't work.
Well, it's simply not scriptural. It's from the Old Testament perspective, death was rest, yes, but it was a departure from the physical plane. They perceived that as sleep. That departure from the physical plane. Paul said, "I would rather be, I would rather be out of the body and with Yahweh. To be out of the body is to be with Yahweh, than to be here."
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5:1-8.
I mean, there was a transfiguration, right? And Peter said he saw Moses and Elijah, right? They weren't sleeping, were they?
No, they weren't.
I don't think that the Adamic consciousness can cease to exist at all. That's the gift. That's the blessing of the gift from God. Your body might die, but your consciousness won't. If indeed you're one of His children.
Yeah, because Paul, he was differentiating those I do lie after the law of God, after the inward man. I believe he's talking about that spirit that God Adam, right?
Absolutely. Tobin, why don't you put the dog on? Maybe you'll make more sense than me.
You're making for
Come on.
Oh, man.
Somebody stepping on a toe biter. Yeah, that's what it is, a toe biter. I saw this dog today. We went to this place to buy some tomato seedlings. And I saw this dog that would, it was an adult, grown-up dog. It was half Chihuahua and half something else. But the lady never told me what the other half was. It was a mutt, but it was real pretty mutt. And this thing could have stood on my hand and laid down on the palm of my hand. I swear, it was unbelievably tiny. I never saw an adult dog so tiny.
Well, one of mine's only 4 pounds.
No, this dog weighed a good, it didn't weigh 2 pounds. I don't know. This dog was tiny. It could have
laid down. Yeah, they breed them real small. It's not good.
Yeah, this dog could have laid down in the palm of my hand. And my hands aren't that big. I mean, they're big, but they're not that. This dog could have laid down in the palm of my hand, I swear.
Yeah.
I can't. This woman brought it into the little shop where you know, at the front of the greenhouse. And I was afraid to walk, thinking I'd step on this thing. It would be gone. It would be like stepping on a cigarette butt.
Yeah, they're like little tiny puppies.
I'd be scraping it off the bottom of my shoe if I stepped on it. And it was full grown. It was a real pretty dog, but it was pretty. That's the problem. I don't think dogs are supposed to be pretty. I think.
Oh. All right. All right. All right.
I'm a chauvinist. I can't help it.
Hey, Bill, I gotta ask you something. Why is there some guys that criticize Eli? I really like Eli. I think the guy's got a heart of gold. Why do they criticize him for him being Portuguese?
I don't think Eli's Portuguese. I think that's a rumor that Jim Wickstrom started. I think, or somebody associated with him. That's what I believe.
But that's chicken shit to do that to your brother like that. Because he's an Adamite. I saw his picture.
Well, there's a long history of diverse egos in Christian identity, to say the least.
Really? Because, see, now if I'm on, now, Bill, that when I clicked on your profile on TalkShoe, is that you standing there with your plaid shirt on and the snow and the trees in the background?
Yeah, that's me. You can see me on WilliamFink.net. I don't hide nothing. I got hundreds of my family pictures on WilliamFink.net.
Well, that was just because that's the only picture that I've seen of you, and then I saw a picture of Eli, and Eli's got dark hair with a dark beard, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then
right now it's pretty gray hair with a pretty gray beard.
Yeah, And I heard this one guy a while back. I wasn't on the phone or nothing. I just heard the live program. I don't know who the guy was. He called in and he was criticizing to this other guy about Eli being a mongrel and being mixed because he was a Portuguese or something. And I kind of got PO'd and I go, I gotta remember to ask Bill about that. See how much truth there is to that. You know, because I was shocked.
Well, I don't believe it. I mean, I don't. Yeah, you know, I bet Eli, and I don't think he's part Portuguese.
Now, but Portuguese people, I've seen a lot of Portuguese. Some of them got blonde hair, you know, green eyes.
You know, Portuguese people, I don't know how many are left, but they were certainly originally white. There's no doubt. And I believe that there could still probably be white Portuguese. I've seen some Portuguese that I would take for white people. And I've seen them, met them personally. But I don't, many Portuguese and probably most are mixed.
Well, what would they be mixed with, the Spanish Basque?
The Arabs that held the southern two-thirds of Spain for 700 years. And then Portugal, what was the first European nation, I mean, the others really didn't do it until very recently. But Portugal, way back in the 17th century, they had brought Negro slaves home to Portugal.
Okay.
And intermingled with them. And that could be a problem, right? I would think.
Yeah, that would definitely, that's worse than what the Nubians did to poor Ham. The Hamitic people.
Well, I've seen pictures of Portuguese that I thought were, but I doubt if he likes Portuguese. And he claims that he asserts that he's not. So we have to take him for his word.
Yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I thought for anybody to make that statement, they got their head in their butt. You know, I got FPO'd, you know, when I heard that. I really, because I listened to Eli quite a bit. And man, he's, when you and him get together, I got over 300 of your archives downloaded in my friend downloaded for me in my computer. I listen to him every night. And, you know, Eli, he's very, he's got the right heart towards you. You know, doesn't seem to be defensive or tries to be argumentative.
Well, yeah, we don't agree about everything, but Eli is he's a very good listener, and he's always open to hearing other points of view. I'm not in a lot of ways. Eli's much, much better at that than I am. I mean, I admit that immediately. But, Eli, and he's enjoyable to work with for that reason. And it's a real pleasure to work with him because of that. Yes.
I need to get his book on that. I talked to a friend of mine that called me from Oregon, and he told me to get it. He says it's awesome on the strange impersonation.
Yeah,
and
a lot of people like that book.
Yeah, and I told him to go to Lulu and pick up your New Testament.
Great.
That there just flat strains us off and takes the slack up from everything that I've read. Because, see, Bill, I've read a lot of Charles Weissman stuff. You know, I have Ted Weiland's book on God's Covenant People. And the thing that kind of upsets me is they'll get in there, especially Charles Weissman.
Charles Weissman is a damn Jew.
Yeah, I didn't know. He gets in there. He talks about the Edomites. He talks about the pure bloodline.
He won't take it beyond the Edomites.
Huh?
He won't take it beyond the Edomites. Weissman will admit that, you know, the Jews are Edomites, or at least that many of them are. And I read his book, Who Is Esau, Edom? He won't go beyond that. He won't take it back to Esau's Canaanite wives, and he won't take it back to the mixing of the Canaanites with the Kenites, and he sure as hell isn't going to admit that Cain is the son of the serpent, the son of the devil, and they do all kinds of mental gymnastics to deny that.
Yeah, because I got his book on seed of Satan.
As far as I'm concerned, he's disinformation. He might be, you know, milk to a lot of people, before they get the real meat, but he's still disinformation.
Well, yeah, one of the things, like in the book of Judges, it talks about Jethro coming from, like, the Kenite, the Moabite, and one more. I think it was the Amorite. One of those three.
Let's look at this objectively.
Yes.
Jethro is called a Midianite, a Cushite, and a Kenite.
That's it.
Okay,
and
he's called all three.
Judges.
Now, how could you be all three? I mean, unless you're mixed, right? And then he sure as hell isn't going to be, you know, Moses, his wife, surely isn't going to be acceptable. Jethro is a Cushite by geography because the first Babylonian Empire at that time had control of Saudi Arabia, of what we know today as Saudi Arabia, and that was considered part of the land of Cush, because the first Babylonian Empire was founded by who? Nimrod. And what tribe was Nimrod from? Cush. So they called that land the land of Cush, the Hebrews did. Okay? So Jethro was a Cushite by geography.
That's right.
Midianites had no nation of their own. And they were descendants of Midian, who, Genesis chapter 25, is Abraham's son with Keturah, his third wife, technically. After Sarah died, Abraham married Keturah, right?
Yes.
And Midian was one of the four sons born to Keturah. So by race, Jethro was a descendant of Midian.
Yes.
By geography, he was a descendant of Cush. Why is he called a Kenite? Because Kenite also became a word for Smith. He's not a Kenite by tribe. He's a Smith.
Right.
So he's a Kenite by occupation. He's a Cushite by geography. And he's a Midianite by race.
Well, and you see, he does a good job of explaining Zephora and distinguishing the tribe and the geography in contrast to her race.
Well, Zephora had to be a white woman. She was a Hebrew if she descended from Abraham and.
Exactly. But this is the thing. Charles does a good job there in his little book called His Universalism of God. But then when he gets to come against the seed line position, he tries to quote Judges chapter 4 when it's talking about, you know, media, Kenite, and regarding Jethro. And he convolutes that. And that's why, that's like you said, there's inconsistencies. They're not consistent with their interpretation.
Well, the Bible basically condemns every mixed marriage and where... That there's a marriage that, you know, in our perception appears to be mixed, but the Bible doesn't condemn it. That then you can rest assured that it's only appears to be mixed because of our lack of complete understanding of the way terms were used in the ancient world. Like Ruth.
Yes.
Ruth wasn't a Moabite. She was an Israelite, and she was a Moabite geographically. She lived in that land that the Israelites had taken that originally belonged to Moab.
Yes.
But that's
it probably applies to Rahab, huh?
How you doing,
Hi,
Bruce?
Joel.
Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
How are you? Okay.
I was saying the same probably applies to Rahab.
Well, Rahab wasn't a harlot. She was an innkeeper. Cliff did prove that. As far as
I know. Well, the same with Tamar, too. I'm sure
Tamar wasn't a whore. If it wasn't that woman, there wouldn't be any tribe of Judah. Yahweh wanted a tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Tamar just used her cunning to get what she had coming. That's all she did. You can't fault a woman for that. And that's another case where her critics don't understand the ancient world. But a woman who has no children has no support in her old age. So she had to have children. Judah owed her children because he married her to his sons, for better or worse, and didn't fulfill his own law of next of kin, raising up children to the brother. Judah broke his own family law, his own tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So Tamar, she just got what she had coming. And she got it straight from Judah, and praise Yahweh for that, otherwise we'd have no tribe of Judah, right? In spite of what the clown Russell Walker thinks. And I really got him Sunday. I mean, he couldn't even say nothing Sunday. I got him with just Malachi 11:12, and he didn't know what to say.
I don't even deal with people like that because
I wish people would just ignore him because he's a straight clown. He's always going to be the vice.
He says the scriptures are hobby.
Division to him. Right.
Yeah. He says it's a hobby, and I don't deal with people like that.
Yes, Joe, the descendants of Cain are Kenites, but the word was also used for it was later used to describe the trade of Smith. Just like the word Hittite was later used to describe a great warrior, and Uriah was a Hittite, but that don't make him a Hittite by race. You have to, part of the confusion is that every Hebrew word is also a real word, that every Hebrew name is also a word. In fact, the word Canaanite is synonymous with merchant. And the Canaanites were famous merchants, but not every merchant was a Canaanite. I mean, come on.
Just like not every American's a Negro.
Yeah, right. Every American isn't a Negro. We don't all wear our pants down around our knees. I sure as hell don't. Let me acknowledge Patricia. Hello, Patricia.
Oh, you can mute me back up, Bill. I'm just having problems staying on listening.
Well, what if I don't want to?
Okay. Well, then you don't have to.
You don't have anything to say to us. I'll mute you. Okay.
No worries.
You too, Gerald, or do you want to say something? Hello, Gerald.
Hello. Well, I don't have anything at the moment. I'm also having issues with TalkShoe, but I might say something later on. Who knows?
Well, are we doing the Christaleos Fellowship call next week on Christogenia.net? That's what I want to know. But Patricia wanted me to mute her, so I won't get an answer. Clifton just got bounced. Joe from Pennsylvania just got bounced. Dave Bay Woman just got bounced. It's just crazy. This is the last Christogenia Forum call on TalkShoe. Next week, it's on Christogenia.net.
You know, I discovered something on your server. When I was on there, if I tried to open another window or transfer back between a window and your program, it automatically unmuted me. And that's why you couldn't keep me muted one night. I was going back and forth through some things, and it just kept opening up my mic.
What do you mean by opening up another window?
Well, I had different windows open on my computer.
Different TeamSpeak windows?
Yeah. And every time I went and looked at something, like I had I just had some different things open, and if I left your server and went back, you know, just switching back and forth, it opened up my mic automatically.
Between TeamSpeak and another program?
Well, yeah, you know, like if I had another window open at the bottom, you know, I might have a Word document or I might have an email open or something else. And if I went to another deal and then, you know, came back into your program, it automatically opened my mic.
That's really strange. Well, that won't interrupt the program because the programs will be in the Christogenia main forum. They won't be in the open house channel.
Well, and then, too, my headset shipped today and by UPS, so I should have it by Wednesday or Thursday at the latest.
Great. And I don't know if anybody else has gotten their Christogenia New Testament, if they ordered one, but the first one I ordered, the cover art, was very close to the edge, and they fixed that. I ordered three more copies because I have to send a couple out, and they repaired that. Lulu repaired, and I was quite happy about that.
I'll be ordering a few on the first. Hi, Gerald.
Hey, Bruce. How are you? I hadn't heard from you in a couple of days.
Oh, I'm good.
Where are you now?
Let's play golly.
Where are you now?
In Rock Springs, Wyoming.
Wow.
Rock Springs. It's like 30. Well, no, it's 40 degrees here. Mm-hmm. It was snowing. I went through a snow blizzard today.
Well, it was 93 and hot as blazes here.
Oh.
Good weather to soak up oil.
I've been asked to do a program with the Subi sisters, and I took them up on it. I'm probably going to be on one night.
That ought to be interesting.
One Thursday night in June. I'll be missing a Thursday Bible study.
Hmm. We'll let you.
Well, I think I got to do it, you know. I got to do it. I think I'm going to give them a shot, and it might wake up a few people. That's the way I look at it. It might give me the opportunity to reach a few people I normally wouldn't reach.
Like the Doobie Sisters?
No.
Yes, Bruce. Well, they've listened to programs I've done with Eli. I mean, they've been in the forums with programs that I've done with Eli, the Subi Sisters. They're just not very regular. They are there once in a while. I don't know what their opinion is about Christianity, but that they'll get mine. I mean, that's for sure. Yes, Bruce.
Yeah, they got mine too. Well, that's what brings me up to ask you a question. Not really a question, is it? It's like our folks that don't understand or adhere to 2C mind, when you're talking to them, you could really smell the rat inside of them, in the sense that they haven't really come across, that's what I came across at one Ted, I don't know his last name, what was it? They just put on it's like a plastic fake, front that they put on, and you smell a rat in them. These one seed liner.
Well, I believe so. I don't know how, you know, some of the one seed liners that they deny that there's a devil at all, and I don't know how they, I don't know, you know, I don't know how they justify that. I do know how they justify it because I've read some of their works. And it's pretty contorted. That's all I have to say. It's crazy. It just doesn't add up to scripture at all to deny that there's a devil or the devil is the flesh. There's a whole bunch of those clowns that the flesh is the devil. So basically in Luke 10, Joshua says that I saw flesh fall from heaven like lightning.
Hey, Bill.
Is the flesh. And he came in the flesh, so he must... You know, God must be Satan. It's a totally perverted theology to deny that there's an adversary, especially in the face of history. When we've seen that we've had the same adversary for 7,000 years. All the dots can be connected. And they deny that. Yes.
Yeah, real quick, on Luke, I think it's Luke 10, when Jesus sent the 70 out and they came back, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Of some commentators that I've read on that, they say that Jesus was speaking of Capernaum, coming, you know, Capernaum falling. In other words, the work that the 70 disciples did, the work, you know, the work that the power of God did to the 70 disciples. Have you ever heard of that analogy before?
Well, it sounds pretty ridiculous to me. I mean, let's look at it in context.
Yes.
Luke 10:17. Then the 72 returned with great joy, saying, Prince, even the demons are subject to us by your name. And he said to them, I beheld the adversary, or Satan, falling as lightning from heaven. Beheld, past tense, the adversary falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And no one shall by any means do you injustice. He's not
right.
Changing the subject. The adversary, the demons, the serpents, the scorpions, they are all the same entity.
Yes.
Now, there are demons in the spiritual realm, and as we learn from Scripture, there are demons in the physical realm.
Yes.
And that's basically what, Christ is making a direct connection here. The same connection that he makes through the Revelator, John, in Revelation chapter 12. The devil is that old serpent and Satan. And they're walking amongst us. We have power to tread on serpents. That don't mean that we're going to run around the desert barefoot and step on snakes and scorpions. It means that if we keep the word of God, we will prevail over the two-legged serpents and the two-legged scorpions.
Yes.
That's what it means. And I don't care how many times the Freudian theologians want to pervert it, that they're just perverts.
Well, this is the thing that, in fact, well, my friend, when you get, if he calls in tonight, Daryl, of course, he holds to the, you know, the rebellion in heaven and the fallen angels and stuff, just like we do, the heavenly ones. And he, what he pointed out, he goes, you know, what these no devil teachers don't realize they're doing, when they're simply philosophizing and humanizing the scriptures, like a humanist would, is what, you know, I thought that was a pretty good point. Because if you take out the spiritual realm of the scripture, you just have just another human book.
Well, that's what the Sadducees did, right? I mean, they didn't believe in resurrection or a spirit or angels. They denied all that, the Sadducees. So
yeah,
today, and you know, that's I in one of my papers I basically labeled the no Satan people to be the modern-day Sadducees, that they may as well be. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I remember reading that paper. One of the best ones I read was your little appendix on the bottom, on the right side of your .org site. Regarding
that's Appendix
the,
B to the Christogenia New Testament.
Yes.
The devil
and that was. Yeah, and you went into Luke 4, and you pointed out, from the natural standpoint, of a collected group of Antichrist adversaries that were dominated by the, you know, the adversary and the spiritual realm. And you pointed out, there's just, bottom line is, there's just two groups here. And I thought that was one of the best clarifications that I'd read pretty much in my life on the adversary was on that appendix that you have.
Well, that's what they are. That's why I wrote it.
A lot of flack. I don't catch a lot of flack, Bill, but I catch flack like, Second Peter being written, you know, after the first century.
Does it say that? Who says that?
Well, this is what these are what these high what they call high powered scholars. This is what
most of the so called high powered scholars actually claim that Peter did write 2 Peter, but he didn't write 1 Peter.
Right, like for example, the one guy by the name of Bart Ehrman. You know, he points out that somebody else wrote Second Peter. And
well, what's this turkey's last name? What's this guy's name?
Bart Ehrman. Ehrman. E-R-A-E-M or I-M. Ehrman.
What kind of name is that?
You know what? I think you answered my question. Thank you. He's got to be a cryptic Jew or a Jew.
There's always a Jew in the woodpile whenever it's getting crazy.
Read the scripture. To hell with all the commentary.
I do.
Clifton likes to cite commentaries, and Clifton does well by most of the time. But let me say that the commentaries Clifton cites are from learned scholars of the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries.
Yes.
That don't really have political agendas like today's commentators do. And so, I mean, Clifton's brought some excellent work to light through Matthew Henry and John Lightfoot and some of the early commentators that tried to explain the Bible through what was known about language and history and archaeology. And that's how we have to understand the Bible. I mean, you can't take it out of its historical context and expect to understand it. And while those guys were under the spell of blindness that Yahweh put upon Israel, there's no doubt that they were in many ways excellent scholars that made a sincere attempt to understand Scripture. Where people that read the Bible today, they already have their mind made up and their doctrine made up. And they read the Bible trying to squeeze the Bible into their doctrine.
Exactly.
That's how people read the Bible today.
Yeah. It's like this one group, Bill, called the 21st Century Reformation. They're teaching that Jesus was begotten of Mary, and he had no preexistence. Yeshua didn't have no preexistence, okay? And that's what they teach. Or you get somebody like the Restored Church of God, you know.
Well, his flesh had no preexistence, but his spirit was preexistent. He's Yahweh.
Yes.
He is God. And that's part of the Christian revelation. He was, the Word in the beginning was
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, if A equals B and B equals C, then A must be equal to C.
That's right. Well, it's just like the thing that, you know, this guy that took over Herbert Armstrong's fellowship, the Restored Church of God, they point the word seed in 1 John 3:9. Where it talks about where Christ, the seed remains in you, they take that seed and call it the Holy Spirit so that anybody can come and get born again.
Well, in the Greek, in the common Greek vernacular, and the Bible's written in the common Greek vernacular, it's written in Koine Greek. Koine means common. Common
okay.
Greek. That's what the word means.
Yes.
Burma only came from one place.
That's right.
And that's all it meant. And offspring were called sperma. A man's seed grown up were his offspring. And it only comes from one place.
That's right.
And when you keep your race, that seed remains in your offspring.
Pretty powerful. It's pretty hard for you. Can't you just can't share that with hardly anybody? They just go over the edge.
Well, they're Bible deniers. They're Bible deniers if they go over the edge.
Yeah, I know.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Well, everybody died. I didn't know what happened.
Well, I'm waiting for I run my mouth enough. I'm waiting for somebody else. Come on. This is an open
I was
forum
deaf and
program.
Dumb.
Open forum program.
You know, it's really, really wonderful about our counselor, Yahshua, is that that substance of his... of him being the Word made flesh, is that Adam, his original pure creation was in his very image, in that substance, for the very substance of Yahweh placed in him. And it seems like we somehow shrunk all of that to such a small space. We losing that. And what's wonderful is how that Clifton's approach and attitude and yours, Bill, is expressing the triumph of the death of the baptism of the fire into Yahshua's death of our that little space we call me, and exposing or having that insight in his spirit into the very devils that to this day deny him and blaspheme his name. And that's a huge, I mean, that is Christianity, seeing that whole, it's like I drive my truck from everywhere, you know, and I plan where I stop and eat and get fuel, and but it's like looking at not just the one little direction I'm going into from Indiana to Oregon, but looking at understanding the every path, and that's what he always exposes in understanding that who the devil in shoe leather is, and all of the tricks that we can absolutely end in ourselves by accepting them and our conditioning by them. That's wonderful.
Well, I can't
believe praise
it.
Yahweh.
Yes, praise Yahweh. Hmm? And it's that they do that. They try to marginalize God. That's exactly what they do.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholics want to marginalize him into a little child in the arms of a virgin, and not listen to one word of what he said when he was an adult outside of John 3:16 and a couple of lines from the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah, and hide behind a little baby and a virgin.
Somebody just put a Miss Tel Aviv in a link into this Jewess in the. Oh, it's absolutely hideous. This has to go up on the forum tonight. Hello, Patricia.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Wonderful. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Listen, I just saw a couple things, you know, from the emails today. Someone sent me that email about a woman in Edmonds, Washington was raped by a Mexican who'd been deported 9 times.
Well, right, and you know the problem is that they don't deport. I would deport the Mexicans incrementally. That'll do it.
I would sue the federal government.
Yes,
for letting that guy back in the country 9 times. It's their fault that she was raped.
Well, it's their fault. The entire country is being raped.
Yeah, I know that, but she, you know, she doesn't see that as. You know, obvious.
We need incremental deportation of all Mexicans. First, we send their heads across the border. That's the only way to solve the problem. No, it's never going to happen.
Oh, man. Rick Tarr's putting up some links here. They're always mean. I don't know where. Yeah, I'm with MacDog. Where do you find this stuff? Exactly.
He's way too long surfing the internet. That's what he does.
Well, if I lived in New York, I'd probably spend more time online, too, because the weather's not usually very good. So how's your garden growing, Bill?
I spent all evening on it. I turned over a whole garden tonight, and it,
oh
it was – and tomorrow I have to go out and break up all the little clumps with the rake and rake in the peat and the manure I bought into it and plant my tomatoes. That's
well, pretty hard to stay off your foot, huh?
Yeah, right. And I got some sunburn today. I'm a redneck tonight. I'm telling you, I'm an official redneck right now.
Okay.
It only takes 3 hours for me to get sunburned, and I got a good one.
Yeah, there's a this you know a newfangled invention, Bill. It's called a hat.
Yeah, you know, I put my hat on about 2 hours into my gardening today, and that was probably about 1 hour and 45 minutes too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, did any of you read this email Robert Bellachia sent? that the Gulf oil spill could have been sealed in 8 hours. I don't know if MacDog saw this or not. I don't know if I remembered, but there's
Yahweh's in control.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, never let a good crisis go to waste, right?
The Jews are guilty of everything and every sin possible anyway. It doesn't matter. What's one more?
Exactly. So, but those are some of the most horrifying emails of the day. That and the ones on the police brutality, the three, if anybody wants to see that, it was one of the worst ones I've ever seen. It was just terrible, beating up people, just ridiculous.
Somebody on a call just had their computer crash or their talk show crash. I know it. I heard it.
I'm in love.
No, you're not, Charles. You stop that right now. You go have a toddy and straighten yourself up.
I may have to have several toddies after looking at that picture.
Jocko would never let her in the house, Gerald.
Oh, God.
Rick Carr says he has 15 favorite websites. That's it. I'm sure mine, if he only has 15 favorite websites, I'm sure mine's not on the list.
Well, yeah, we count on him to monitor all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this female is absolutely hideous, but, you know, she looks like a lot of the Puerto Rican girls I've seen. I swear, a lot. Rick Tark, tell me she don't look like half the Puerto Rican girls in Brooklyn.
I think she's actually got Barbara Streisand beat, if that's possible.
Yeah, that's hideous, too. She is hideous, too.
Thank you to everybody who went and voted in that that vaccine. If people don't think, I know, unbelievable. It was up to 83% people thinking that vaccines didn't cause autism. Yeah, I can't check that again tomorrow. So, for that.
Unbelievable.
They just will believe nothing unless it appears on their television set or in USA Today. That's it. They won't believe it.
Well, you know, I have a hard time. You know, I was talking with Tom about this evening. We have a hard time comprehending, you know, or wanting to accept how fast this thing is going down. And I say, yeah, we'd like to be in denial about it, and we know what we know. I mean, I can't imagine anyone, you know, that's plugged into the national media, and they've got to have this amazing cognitive dissonance going on. I don't blame them not wanting to see it.
Well, they don't get information from anywhere else, and they have been brainwashed into thinking that if it's real and if it's true, their news will tell it to them. Television will present it to them in some show. Or their, you know, their USA Today will cover it. So you must all be nuts and conspiracy freaks and crazy people. That's really the way to think.
Yeah, well, all those conspiracy sites, you know, they're going to start taxing them or shutting them down or doing something. That's what the new informations are.
I don't know what they're worried about. They don't seem to be reaching the majority at all. I mean, it's only a bunch of us fringe people out here who pay any attention to it.
Yeah, we ought to tell them to calm down. That's right, calm down.
What are you worried about? They're all still watching CNN.
And oh, no, Fox News. Come on, all the Tea Party people are out at Fox News.
Oh, yeah, and Fox.
Yeah, but I think they're right. The Tea Party people would probably be some of our best, you know, mission fields for CI.
If they weren't Baptists?
Yeah, if they weren't Baptists. I know, they're pretty angry. Maybe they could make the jump, you know.
Well, I have some cousins up here. They love the Tea Party idea, but they hate the Christian identity idea. That they can't get over it. You know, they want to be, I don't know, good neocons, I guess. I don't get it.
I think they love the respectability of society more than, you know, anything else, a lot of them.
Definitely, Bruce. Definitely. I can't have my neighbors thinking I'm some kind of fruitcake.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to be fools for Christ, that's for sure. Rather, we're supposed to go outside the gate, right? Outside the camp and suffer his reproach. The hell with them.
No, they like the, you know, the honor of men.
Well, I want to know what Judeos are actually calling the Great Apostasy. What do they think the Great Apostasy is? I always remember hearing that, the Great Falling Away, but they never had an explanation for really what that was and when it was going to happen.
I think they see it as the collapse of the stock market. They're so stupid.
That's scary.
Yeah.
But I look at the apostasy thing different because I think that it started, you know, long before Christ even came. And it's affected all of history.
Well, the apostasy thing is easy. It's all those other people out there who don't think the way you do.
Well, Paul gives us the reason for the apostasy. Those who elevate themselves above God, who are sitting in the temple of God pretending that they are God. And he's talking about the present tense, and he's talking about the Edomite Jew.
Well, I would say that he's talking about, about Christians as well, about Judeo-Christians that elevate themselves above God because they're
more. Well, they follow the Jew. They all follow the Jew. I mean, Judeo-Christians are just that. They're Jews. They're
Jews
spiritual Jews. They're philosophical Jews. They're no better than Jews.
Yeah, the Jews in proxy is what they are. That's what they
it
are.
It really
Jews
should be
whore.
Spelled J-E-W-D-E-O.
Christian Zionists, whatever you want to call them, they're no better spiritually than Jews because they're corrupt. Their thinking is corrupt, and they don't know it, but they're alienated from God because they've embraced the enemy. How do you claim to be a Christian while you're sleeping with the enemies of Christ?
Well, that certainly explains why they'll kill us and think they're doing Yahweh a favor.
Exactly.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
But you know what? I think that they are conscious of it and they suppress it and it becomes their subconscious. I don't think it's right to go out and, how can I say it? It's kind of difficult to say.
The message.
You know what I mean? They know they're doing it.
There can't be a clearer message in Scripture, in the epistles of Paul and the epistles of John, that we are not to have anything to do with those who deny Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Not to have anything to do with them. All they have to do is read 2 John, one of the shortest pages in the Bible, right? 2 John. It's probably the second shortest epistle in the Bible, because I think it might be a little longer than 3 John. And they would get it. That's all they would have to read. That's why I have 2 John 9 to 11 on my masthead, in my revolving masthead at Christian. Each who going forth and not abiding in the teaching of Christ has not God. It's real simple. And if they don't have that message, don't even greet them. Because if you greet them even, then you take a share in their evil works. I mean, how much plainer could it be? If you say, hello, Rabbi, well you're guilty of harvesting organs and killing babies at Passover, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's what John's saying. And I would never want to be guilty of all the crimes that a rabbi is guilty of.
Oh,
it's a one-man walking crime ring.
Fudge. That's not good. That's not good at all. The blood sacrifice.
Yeah,
the pedophile and the pornography and so forth. Shoot. Sometimes it's a good thing to research these things because a lot of people don't want to believe them. There's some good books out there about what the Jews actually have done in the past, why they were kicked out of literally every country in the world. And I think they got kicked out of England like three times since like the 12th century or something like that. But it's almost good to research some of these areas, and you'd be amazed at the kind of things that they get involved in. It's just unbelievable. It's really sickening. And I think it was Pastor Eli or whatever talks about the Jews when they do the kosher thing, when they lay and kill the animals, slit in the throats and all that stuff. And it's just hideous. But you know, it's what they do. It must be the animalistic instinct that they got within them, because I don't think they're human at all. Or at least people. I don't think they are. It's just amazing, because I've done a lot of research and reading on that, and it's just so disgusting. It really is. Because I don't even go to church, because a lot of the Judeo-Christians, they just support the Jews 100% of the time. And I got something from the Wycliffe Associations, where they want to go out there and spread the gospel to the African countries, which I don't agree with. And I even got something from an organization called Chosen People's Ministry, where they throw up and down that the Jews are God's chosen people. And I wrote them a nasty little message on their form and everything, saying the Jews are not God's chosen people. So I'm pretty well liked. it's just amazing, the things that they do. If you just research it, it's disgusting. Even the pornography thing, it's just disgusting what they do. It's amazing that seems like a lot of whites are so involved in that sort of thing. They really believe what the rabbis say. It's amazing.
Well, we probably need to emphasize kicking that the Jew out of ourselves first, and then later out of the country will follow. Because I think that the other way around doesn't work.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's true. Besides, I think that it just still is considered to think that God is letting sin just run its course, and that God is establishing something brand new for his own people. He's kind of, I think he's hiding his people from a lot of the Jews and influence and so forth. I mean, it's still there. But I think a lot of people, even a lot of the Judeo-Christian churches, are leaving the churches, and they don't even know why. But I think that God's moving them out and separating them from the other people. Like he says in Revelation 18, come out of our sins. And I think God's actually pulling people out of a lot of these areas, Judeo-Christian churches, and even the loving the Jews and so forth. And he's going to make the Jews are going to wind up being naked. You watch. Huh? It's amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to look at their ugly, hook-nosed, naked bodies.
Yeah, I mean, look at Barbra Streisand. My goodness. Oh.
No, thank you.
I mean, that's pretty hideous. But this, I mean, the Jews are all over Hollywood, all over the movie industry. It's amazing. There's I can't think of the name of it. There was a movie, 2009, that actually foretells the oil rupture that happened down in the Gulf of Mexico. I was watching this video today. It's really amazing how close, how similar it is. Like they were already telling you what's going to happen, and bam, it happens. And the same month, only a year later.
Yeah, I think Bill mentioned something about that before. I heard him mention something about that the devil can, you know, more or less put it in people's conscience for the future, what the devil's going to do.
Well, this is in the movie.
I mean,
this is actually in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the name of it. It's actually in the movie where they foretell. They have a newscaster talking about the rupture of the oil facility out in the Gulf of Mexico. And then they go back in the video. They go back to just last month and say the exact same thing. See, you know, they always want to tell you what's going to happen. Only most people are too blind to really see it or even to listen to it. So.
Yeah, it all causes distortion and conflict. That's all they
Yeah, it does.
For.
It does. No, it's, you know, God's
just
in control.
Fear. Fear.
Yeah, God's in control.
Yeah,
it's they will. That, it's just that we look at it and we think, are we sure? And well, I think God's manipulating and doing things that, I mean, he even says that his ways are totally different from ours, and his understanding is better than our understanding and so forth. I think he might be going right into the inside and the interior of things, politics, government, and so forth, and disrupting from the inside. And I think you're going to find evidence of it. You know,
I think it's obvious that every one of us is going to have to take a very serious, hard look at ourselves and see our fornication, our untrusting heart, our fear. I mean, either we're going to finish with it while we're living, or it's going to be too late. That's, you know.
Yeah. See, fornication isn't only sexual. It's fornication can be actually, you know, worshiping certain things we should be worshiping, and appeasing the Jews and loving the government.
Well, I'm a former fornicator, literally.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So am I.
And
it's a noble thing, I think, to repent from that and to recognize it. That is, that's totally noble.
Yeah, but so many people justify their actions. They just justify anything, saying, "Well, nobody's perfect."
well, right. So, and the people that justify this, they seek to use the Bible. Yeah, you know, they'll pull verses out of context to justify their sin. That those
yeah.
people are going to have a much hotter time at the judgment seat of Christ. There's no doubt.
Yeah, that's too.
Paul
be higher
said, "Some men
over.
Send their sins ahead of the judgment." And
yeah.
that's what I believe you do when you recognize and admit that you screwed up and repent from that.
Yeah,
think the Judeo-Christian paradigm and idioms, Bill, they use the verb to be in the sense of looking at ourselves. It's always an escape from understanding ourselves. You know what I mean? So they use this to be like a Jesus that's a Jew, and that's so ridiculous.
Well, they believe
what
they're told.
Who would want to be a Jew?
That they believe what they're told. It's like swallowing Kool-Aid. It's like going to Jonestown all over again. That's exactly
yeah.
what it's like. It's just a milder form and very slow. Yeah, you know, a much slower killer. But they've swallowed the Kool-Aid. They're the cultists. They don't believe it. They don't know it, but they are. The cult members. Well, when you believe something that a man tells you and accept that as gospel truth and don't investigate it for yourself and don't even get, you know, right from the Bible. And if you do that, well, you're in a cult. They're the cult
members.
That's
right.
That's what a cult is.
Secondhand human beings that swallow distortion.
I think they want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ on their terms, not on God's terms. Because in order to be on God's terms, you've got to really research what's going on. And they don't want to do that. They just want to go to church and then go to ice cream socials.
Men seek to form God in their image. But the Bible says that man was formed in God's image.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, Mad Magazine had this ideal town. It's really interesting. It was a centerfold. And had a sausage shop that was selling sausages in the street level, and they could you could donate money for your best charity, and it goes all the way down to town. And then it had a church way in the back, and the sign said, "No ice cream socials, no dances, nothing but prayer." And that was a magazine, which I thought was kind of good. Because we'd rather go to church and rather than not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the whole idea of prayer in the first place, prayer means to talk to. to consult with, to walk with, and so forth. It doesn't necessarily mean you've got to be underneath. You know, you have to have a personal relationship. But a lot of people in the Judeo-Christian churches don't want the personal relationship with Jesus Christ on God's terms. And that's where they're missing the entire thing. That they're going to be missing the kingdom of heaven altogether.
You don't have to pray on your knees. You don't even have to pray in front. I don't like to pray in front of other people. I'm being honest.
No.
Christ tells you to go in your closet and pray. I pray with my mind.
Yeah. Besides Jews, they're always out there praying. Look at the Muslims. Now in Saudi Arabia, we are told that if you're walking down the street and see a Muslim pull out a handkerchief in the back of his back pocket, put it on the sidewalk, he starts banging it down, starts praying, you can't walk past him. You got to walk to the other side of the street and go around him. See, it's against the law.
Well, yeah, you might have to, but I'm just going to keep walking straight. And if
no.
I have to, I'll fight my way out of it. I don't give a damn.
I know, but that's I'm talking about being in Saudi Arabia, and you can't in Riyadh, and you just couldn't do it because you get thrown in jail. You don't want to get involved in Saudi Arabian jail. You really don't.
I did it in jail. I ain't walking out of my way. I had a buddy from Kentucky that he looked 16 niggers in the eye and said, "If any of you ever get one of those carpets off the floor, I'll convert."
Really. That's good.
He has some balls.
I guess. That's interesting.
He used to say those niggers are trying to jump start their carpets again.
Wow. But you notice the Muslims will pray out in public. The Jews pray out in public. They got the wailing wall. They're praying. They're doing the kindred prayer, what that thing is. Where they devour any association, any context, whatever, and they're always doing it. And Christians are not supposed to do it. The thing that gets me is that, right near where I live, just down the road, actually, we got the Army Trail Road, and below the sign of the Army Trail Road, just below it, it's got a brown sign that says Pramari Swami Road. So we got a Hindu temple just down the road, and they named the western port of Army Trail Road Parami Swami Road. And I'm thinking about getting some black marker or something, or black paint, just spraying all over the sign. But that'd be breaking the law.
Well, you better not, because someone might be listening.
Yeah.
Well, I was about 10 miles from Mecca, you know, when I was in Saudi Arabia once.
Mm-hmm.
And just walking along and looking at all their, their wandering markets and freaks trying to sell stuff. And all of a sudden, everybody just closes their big metal doors and pulls their curtains, and everybody runs to the mosque. And you're one standing there looking around like there's going to be a drive-by shooting or something. It's crazy. Absolutely nuts.
Well, one time when I was in Riyadh, I was in a Turkish restaurant, and then they had prayer. And the owner of the restaurant closed the doors, locked the doors of the restaurant, turned out the lights. And we were sitting there for like 40 minutes in pure darkness. And then after prayer meeting, they turned on the light, and we had to eat our food cold. Yeah, they've got prayer time. I mean, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're awakened to the guy singing the prayer time thing. You know, they don't have to go to prayer time each and every time, but it's like they got to go to prayer like 3 times a day, and it could be in the evening or it could be in the night, really at night, early in the morning, whatever. But you can hear it all the time. Of course, I don't think it's some guy sitting in a tower praying. I think it's just a speaker. Maybe probably a tape. Yeah, you get here all the time.
Yeah, and those Arabs in the markets, they're just like the Jews.
Sure they are.
I mean, they're, exactly like them. Same bloodline.
I think they're related to a certain extent. Like the Mexicans, the Mexicans are actually related to the Jews, too.
Yeah, well, they all have that serpent seed in them. They all have the blood of Canaan in them.
They do.
I mean, that's historically,
true.
and the haplotypes show it too, that they have common blood, that they have common DNA.
and the Palestinians. I think they're cousins of the Jews. So the Jews are killing their own people. You figure. Of course, that could actually be in God's
Satan's
whole
house
thing
divided
too.
Against itself.
Yeah. Because, I mean, look at the Mexicans. I talked to businessmen that said it's the weirdest thing. You have to hire Mexicans, but a Mexican of one town won't work with Mexicans of another town. They kill each other.
Yeah,
and
they're extremely competitive territorially.
And same thing with blacks.
I watched in prison for years the California Mexicans hate the Texas Mexicans and they hate the Arizona Mexicans and they all hate each other and they hate the Mexicans from Mexico.
Yeah, they do.
And they're always beating the living shit out of each other. They're, all the time. I mean, you'll see gangs of Mexicans out on the prison yard kicking the hell out of each other all the time.
Yeah, and then the Spanish singer Selena that was killed in 1993. She was killed by a Mexican woman that was part of her fan club. And I mean, you know, the Mexican woman liked the idea of being the president of her fan club because she had the money and she was taking money out of the system. So Selena finally challenged her. Well, Selena's a Tex-Mex. She's basically a hybrid Mexican, and Mexicans don't like hybrids. And so this woman came out with a gun and went, "Ay, ay, ay," and went after her, killed her. You know, Selena's only 22 years old. But as long as the woman was able to steal from her and be high and mighty up on a pedestal, it was okay. But once Selena confronted her with it and actually they were in a position where she might get fired, she went off on Selena, you know, because, first of all, she doesn't like Selena anyway because Selena was a Tex-Mex. It's a hybrid. No, they fight each other all the time. But I could tell you stories. And I drove a cab in St. Louis for 8 months when I was going to college. And, boy, I could really tell you some stories. You know, how the Mexicans kill each other and shoot each other. And it's amazing.
Well, I'm thankful that they do that. I mean, I watched the Mexicans and the blacks, and the blacks from Detroit hate the blacks from Cleveland, who hate the blacks from D.C., who hate the blacks from New York, who hate the blacks from Philly.
Chicago.
And it's great because they all beat the hell out of each other, and when they're doing that, they usually leave me alone, you know?
That could actually be in God's whole scenario, this whole thing. That's, you know, God could be actually doing that sort of stuff instead of us being involved and doing the killing, whatever. He doesn't have to. They'll kill themselves off. You know, in Chicago, they had five blacks get shot in the back of the head, gang-lined style. And so I guess one person, one of the blacks, survived. Well, it was Mexicans that killed him. Mexican gang. And I worked at a state hospital, and they, that's really weird. They put a gangster disciple on the same ward with a Latin king, which is not a good thing, and also, I think, a member of the Crips or Bloods, one of those. How stupid is that? And then you got white boys, a lot of white boys going on the war trying to stop fighting. They're fighting, and they got showing gang signs, and, you know, one black guy who's from I don't even know what gang he was from. He hit a member of the gangster disciples. And boy, that dude went off on him. But you can't really touch him because they're considered mentally ill, whatever that means.
There was a time in this country when the school system taught monkeys to act like white people, and now it teaches white people to act like monkeys, so figure that out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, our people are so dumbed down. We have no idea. We see all the fighting going on in front of us. We don't really see it. Like, they see it, and they're blind by it. It's amazing. And when you look at the statistic, I mean, rape amongst whites is, like, negligible. I mean, the FBI doesn't have any statistics for it. Literally, there's so little rape going on with whites. But look at the blacks. And the Mexicans, I guess in Mexico, rape is a common thing. Plus, I have mistresses and so forth.
Well, when I worked in corrections, and every time a black guy came in that you know, they got caught, you know, for rape. And
mm-hmm.
the victim was black. We just asked him why he didn't pay her. Yeah, you know, why didn't you just pay her $20?
But I never give out. I was on North 4th Avenue in St. Louis, and I was driving my cab, and I pick up a pretty girl, pretty black girl, and she's getting my car, and about 40 feet away, there's a black guy standing in the doorway, and he called out to her and said, hey, where are you going? And she said, what's it to you, nigger? And he said, what'd you call me? She said, I called you a nigger, you're nothing but a nigger. And I'm standing there in all black neighborhood, the only white guy for blocks. And hearing these two blacks going back and forth calling each other nigger constantly.
Well, that's what they do. They call each other nigger all the time. I mean, that's their favorite word for each other.
I'm thinking, my God, I'm dead.
And then when a white guy says it, you could hear a pin drop all of a sudden.
I know. It's a terrible thing.
I used to tell them they can't own a word. You can't own a word. You can't monopolize a word.
But then a lot of people don't even realize that the words honky and cracker and redneck actually came from blacks who were making disparaging comments about whites who actually worked out in the field as slaves. Now, whites are the first slaves in this country. I mean, this country was based on backs of white slavery, built on backs of white slavery, not black slavery. But, you know, they hide that. So, I mean, every white on the conference call right now is more likely to be a descendant of slavery than any black that they know.
Why don't you guys think over for a few minutes? I think my puppy has to go out.
Mm-hmm. Your puppy?
Yeah, my dog. I gotta take him out. Otherwise, I'm gonna have him. I'll be back in 5 minutes. I mean, I'm sure you guys can carry a conversation for 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, Bill.
Thanks.
Okay.
Gerald.
Yeah, I was. Bill walked his dog there, Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Well,
his,
that's good.
He said
he
puppy.
He took him for a run earlier. He's a rad puppy. He's going to be a big dog.
He's probably a St. Bernard or something, humongous, you know. I was jogging one time a couple of years ago, and there was a woman walking her dog, and this dog was the biggest thing I've ever seen. This dog had to have been 450 pounds as a pound. I could have ridden this sucker. And I was commenting to her about it, and, man, that dog was standing nice and pretty like you do. That's right, dude. He was a big dude.
Well, the worst thing probably only lived.
It's just like when I was up in Alaska and I saw these the dog sleds and the Eskimos. They're actually like 5'8", 5'7", right in that area. And they'd feed the dog. The dog would get on his hind legs and put his paws on the shoulder of the Eskimo and look down at him. These are like bears, like black bears or something. They're among us.
Eskimos are kind of short, aren't they?
Well, yeah, well, they're like, well, I'm 5'9 and a half, I'm 5'10, so they're about 5'7.
Yeah.
5'7, 5'8. But that's still, it's a big dog to be getting on its hind legs and putting its paws on the shoulders of the Eskimo and looking down at him.
Yeah.
A big, big dog.
How tall is Eskimo? How tall is Eskimo? 2.5 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, about 5'7", 5'8", something like that. You know.
Oh, I
but,
see. I see.
Yeah. But this is a big, that was a big dog. So, he, you know, Bill's probably got himself a St. Bernard and went over to the dog pound. He had to take a St. Bernard and had to put the St. Bernard to sleep because some guy trained the St. Bernard to kill. You know, it's a mongoose dog and trained to kill. So it went after the kid's mother, and so we had to put it to sleep.
Did it hurt the mother?
Hmm?
Did the dog actually attack the woman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And then I guess the son beat the dog off, and then we called us. And I mean, that dog, they have these poles that's got the rope in the middle of it that's on one side, and they had to wrap it around the dog's neck, had like three of them, put in the panel truck, threw it in the cage. That, I mean, as we're going down the road, the entire cage is bouncing all over the place. The dog is doing everything he could to get out of it. the big, big dog, St. Bernard, trained to kill. And that's what any dog, you can train any dog to kill. You know, I mean, it's not necessarily in their nature per se, unless they're maybe from Africa or Asia. You know, I mean, I mean, they eat dogs and cats in those areas too, so the dog probably knows, I got to get out of here.
Well, people train people to kill too, and that's probably the worst thing, isn't it?
That's true. I mean, when I was in the military, I was in the National Guard, which is actually combat troops. And the National Guard's chief, you know, I was being trained to kill. And National Guard does it all the time. They, you know, train to kill. Because it's the National Guard that you combat. About 85 to 90% of your combat arms is in the National Guard. Not in the Marines, not in the Army. And I even saw the scenario of the entire thing, how it works. So.
Yeah.
But that's why I kind of got out of the National Guard. I got to the point where I'm not here to kill Americans. That's not my thing. And I used to do in Saudi Arabia and Iceland and Germany, we used to do the patrols all the time. And we used to use flashbang grenades and go into houses, train to go into houses and confiscate things and so forth, which I didn't think that was too cool at all to do. And that dealt with snipers, even in Joliet, Illinois over here. They've got a housing project that went belly up. It's just about houses. There are about a dozen houses. And that's where he trained from riot control. We trained for snipers and terrorism and all that stuff. So I went through all of that kind of training. And, you know, after 9/11, I started thinking, this isn't too cool. I think our country better wake up and stop being stupid and starting all this stuff. And, you know, we lost in Iraq, we lost in Afghanistan. And if we go after Iran, you know, and I hate to say this, but I think God is actually more with the Muslims than with us, because we're not even bothering to do the right thing. It's one thing. I mean, I'm not an anti-war. There's time when you have to fight, but make sure that you know what time it is, and that you know that you're supposed to fight for righteousness. You're not just supposed to start a little war on an assumption. That's what they did with Saddam Hussein. And then George Bush laughs about the idea of finding weapons of mass destruction. And you never did find any weapons of mass destruction because Saddam didn't have any. But, you know.
We brought the depleted uranium with us.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
The purpose of all of these wars is only is to help big business and special interests. It isn't about anything else.
Well, oil.
Those are just excuses they come up with.
Yeah, that's another excuse. And, I mean, I've even seen pictures of the opium fields that American soldiers are guarding in Afghanistan. That's what they're doing.
Well, the Jews' heaven is a never-ending battlefield. That's Jew heaven, because they're the one in the background, you know, collecting.
Yeah, they're right there, right in the background. They're blaming it and everybody else, but it's that actually themselves that are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. It's just amazing.
Well, in Scripture and Revelation, when Yahshua comes back, his garments are dipped in blood. He's not coming back as with tears in his eyes. He's going to be coming back with a rod of iron. And all of these people who love war and violence and death and worship all that crap, they're going to be shattered to pieces.
Well, yeah,
and
I just think there
will be no remorse for them, period.
Yeah, I think that when Jesus Christ comes back, or Yeshua, and he comes back, he's going to come back for vengeance. He's going to come in and say, you know, I'm just taking you out. Of course,
he'll probably go to Kahila first. He'll probably go to Kahila first.
Yeah. But then the tares of the wheat, where God sends his angels to pull the tares right out of the wheat field. And, of course, the tares are the Jews and those that support them. So, Mm-hmm. Come back with a big, great army from heaven.
Yeah.
And you know that's more real than what we see going on in a stupid world. As far as
yeah,
man, it's put together what we.
Well, what we see is a fantasy world. It's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Like I talked to a lady not long ago, a couple of nights ago, and she said the same thing. It's all fantasy. You can't believe anything you just hear or see or whatever. I mean, look at the news, and it's garbage. It's not true. It's just like one time I saw this news item, this feature story, and it had a back when you were in Bosnia, Herzegovina and so forth, and it showed these tubes leaving, the American tubes leaving helicopters and going out to the wooded area. And the newscast is saying that they're attacking some town in Bosnia. Okay? And I'm looking at the area and I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold it. I've been there. And I've never been to Bosnia. I've been there. And I kept on thinking, well, yeah, six months earlier, I was there because that's at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, where they're at. And I looked closer at the scene, and some of the soldiers had the Miles gear, the suppressor on the ends of their weapons. You know, it wasn't in Bosnia at all. It was in Fort McCoy.
Oh, this is just recently?
No, that was
this was years ago.
About 1995, 96, something like that, right in that area. Yeah, it was all a sham. It wasn't true. And that's like I saw that video of the Polish president's plane that went down. Of course, nobody can explain
uh-huh.
him. He had 97 of his government officials on the plane. You never do that. Makes no sense. But there was a Polish guy that went down. I guess he saw a plane come in, and he got his video camera and went to the site. When the first one on the site after it crashed, and there were no bodies anywhere at all. They never found any bodies. There are four people that survived the crash, and you can hear the Polish, and they got the English subtitles, and you hear the Polish, and the English subtitle is "Give me the gun." And you hear somebody else saying, "Oh, please don't kill us." And they hear a gunshot go off, and then after a while you hear another. You get four gunshots going off, you know. There are only four people on the plane, evidently, and that's when one news, off the wall news people, not the news, CNN and ABC and so forth that we have now, but one of the independent news people saying that there was nobody on that plane, that they're saying that there was a silent coup, and the Polish president was deposed before that, and the plane went down there for some reason with only four people. Pilot, co-pilot, navigator, and then somebody else on the plane. And they were killed after the crash. They're shot to death. You know, it's kind of amazing because I went to the Amundsen Shore for like an hour and a half later. You know, it was all set up. Yeah, it was all set up. I got to see if I can find
sounds
that.
Sounds like the
9/11. Video. Yeah. If I can find that small video, I'll send it to Bill. I think I might have sent it to Bill. I'll send it to you if you got an email. I've got it somewhere around. You know. But it's really amazing. It's the guy stepping through the area. You see the plane, flames coming out of the plane. And some of the people that you see are difficult to see, but he circles the individuals. And sometimes you can see it to the left, a couple of guys, people walking. So forth, but you do hear the gunshots. So it's all staged.
Yeah, you might as well go rent a stupid Hollywood video or something. It's all the same.
Well,
garbage.
Yeah, it's just like the moonwalk. In 1959, they used the director that did 2001: A Space Odyssey. Can't think of his name now,
yeah.
But he actually staged the entire walk. He never went to the moon.
I try to say that to some folks. And, I mean, they can handle questioning the Hollow hoax, but when you talk about the moon landing, they kind of get their panties in a bundle or something. I don't know what it is where they seem to have this attitude that, oh, no, that can't be.
Well, there's one short video that I saw. It's only about 2-3 minutes long, and it shows the capsule, and it looks just like what you would see about the moon landing. It shows a capsule, and it says one of the astronauts is stepping off the ladder, and he's saying, one small step for man, one large step for mankind. And we put his foot on the surface of the what's supposed to be the moon, and he starts turning, and then all of a sudden a chandelier falls and crashes on the lander, the moon lander, and the astronaut looks up at the camera and says, "Oh, you mean we got to do this all again?" And then he sees a couple of guys are back up picking up pieces, and a couple of guys in the camera area going out to see him and help him back into the capsule and everything.
Personally, I think that was my own opinion. I think that was just staged to be a reversed controlled descent on showing the stupidity of anybody who questions it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
Because the guy spent like $1 million on that studio. I mean, it's all.
Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick's the name of the. Stanley Kubrick's the name of that fellow.
That's right. And Buzz Aldrin never even acknowledged that he went to the moon. But some guy even went up to him and said, "Can you prove it? Say, did you go to the moon? Tell me." And Buzz Aldrin hit him in the face. You know, either say yes or no and prove that you went to the moon. He never proved that he went to the moon because he didn't. You know.
Would you hit a guy in the face to defend a lie or to defend the truth? I don't know. I wouldn't hit a guy in the face to defend a lie.
Well, I know, but
I don't know one way or the other. But it seems odd to me that you know, if somebody came up to me and told me something that I knew to be true, but challenged me on it, I don't think I'd hit him in the face.
I think he'd probably say, "Yeah, I did."
Lie,
I might
hit him in the face to defend the truth. That's the way I look at it.
If somebody's asking you if you rode a horse or something, you know, because you said you did, you know, either you're going to say yes or no. Same thing with going up to the moon. You know, they're saying
a cowboy and they said, came up to me and he said, do you ride a horse? Well, then I probably hit him in the face because everybody knows cowboys ride horses. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, some cowboys do. I mean,
I would hit a guy in the head to defend the truth, but not to defend the lie is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't want to respond to a lie, you walk away. If you don't want to defend a lie, but you can't admit it, you walk away. Then you evade the issue. That's the natural reaction. Somebody came up to me and said, Jesus was a Jew, and knowing my position, then I probably hit him in the head.
I just say, no, he wasn't, you know. But the whole I think is that Buzz Aldrin should have just said either yes or no. He's not going to say no, because that told you the story, the whole concept of the moon thing and so forth. But if he did go on the moon, we should have said yes.
Well, I don't think a white man would hit anybody for defending the truth. I think they'd hit him. For defending a lie, I think they hit him to defend the truth. That's the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, but
it's a natural reaction to me.
Yeah, but you know, you don't have to hit him at all. You either say yes or no.
Well, if you walk up to a cowboy and say, "Did you ever ride a horse?" You deserve to get hit. I'm sorry, that's the way it is.
I know.
You deserve to get hit. Just what are you, a smart ass? Boom, you know.
Well, I guess it's a situation, but there's just too much evidence. There's too much evidence to support that we didn't go to the moon, though. A lot of evidence.
Well, I really don't care one way or the other. I don't let myself get caught up in every little conspiracy and argument about it because it's futile. It doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah, because people are always going to defend what they believe, no matter whether it's true or not, or it's a lie. It seems like a lot of people just love to be lied to. They get their jaws off of being lied to. No, Judeo-Christians are lied to all the time. They tell them to go to church. So.
Well, there's a lot of lies that we all believed once. Everybody in this room probably, except for maybe Eighth-Day Woman, at one time believed there was a Santa Claus. Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. That's life.
I know, but I know.
And the better people grow out of that, and the idiots don't.
I never believed in Santa Claus because my parents left out cookies for the Santa Claus. And I used to go down and eat them. I was the one that was eating all the cookies.
All right, well, I'm sure there was a point where you bought the story for a minute. We all did.
Yeah, for a minute, only for a minute. But you know, it takes common sense, though, and it takes looking and researching and really getting ideas instead of believing every little bitty thing. I mean, people say, well, on the news it said this. Who cares what it says on the news? What did it actually say? You know, but there's a lot of things on the news that just ain't true.
Because Switzer didn't niggers go to the moon? They went there in 800 BC before we stole their alphabet.
What's that?
The niggers went to the moon in 800 BC before we stole their alphabet.
We stole their alphabet?
It's
a long story.
I don't think you listen to all these programs.
That's about as bad as when there's one doctor that says that black scientists created white people.
Well, that's what the Nation of Islam teaches. That's what Louis Farrakhan teaches. Lightning Louie, Calypso Louie, that's his name. You know, he was a stand-up comedian before he found religion, and his name was Calypso Louie. That's the truth. He actually teaches that Yahweh was an evil black scientist who created the white man, and the white man is the devil. Yeah, that's what he teaches.
Yeah. Just like they teach that the Hebrews are actually black. And then up to Egypt, because Egypt was a black country. So for they teach a lot of that word. So they teach that blacks are in Ireland first, blacks are in the United States first. So
Victor says it's actually a movie called Gay Niggers from Outer Space.
Gay Niggers from Outer Space.
Wesley Swift would believe so.
Gay Niggers from Outer Space? Wow. Yeah, I gotta look at Jerry Springer sometime. I just saw Jerry Springer with a friend on Sunday, and it was just hilarious. It's hilarious. Some guy was whining a man instead of his girlfriend, and I mean, talking about some flamers going on that show, boy. And they're duking it out. It was funny. Boy. See, that's another thing. People get it wrapped up in Jerry Springer. And when Jenny Jones is around, get wrapped up in her.
Well, he's a Jew whose entire plan is to make white people look as bad as possible.
Well, these are white people. They're black people. But that's true. Especially the hillbillies.
And like, the same thing with Maury and Maury Povich and the rest of those kites. There's no difference.
Well, Maury Povich is also married to Connie Chung, so... You know where he's coming from.
Well, he's a Jew. Right. He's got to be a race mixer, too. I mean, they all are.
Yeah, he probably is. I don't know about Jerry Springer if he's a Jew or not. I have to check on the
internet to see if he might be. Look at that nose on him. I mean,
Jerry Springer. How is he about it?
Yeah, I just wonder. Yeah.
He's as kikey as Howard Stern.
He's as kikey? I like that. Well, yeah, he doesn't come up with anything moral at all. It's hilarious.
I wouldn't entertain yourself with that too much. I wouldn't entertain yourself with watching the Jew.
Oh, well, yeah, I know, but they're all over the place. It's hard when you're an actor and singer, and it's like you see it all over the place. I don't even know if I want to
get
any more acting.
Get yourself a lobotomy and fill the hole with manure, I mean.
Yeah, that's what they should do. But I don't even know if I want to get any more movies or anything like that, because it's all Jew based. I even saw a small video of an Hispanic director that said everything around is Jew. It's Jew this, Jew that. You gotta be a Jew to do this. Or you gotta be a Jew lover. So it's all over the place. Because there's a book that's entitled How the Jews Invented Hollywood. So
everything that comes around is going to go around back on their heads in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
when
they stole the camera from Thomas Edison, they never paid him for the patent. He never licensed it to them. They just stole it.
That's the way they are.
Yeah. Same with Nikola Tesla, too.
Laws? We don't need no stinking laws. We have our own laws. That's what you think.
Where was Birth of a Nation was built in California, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, everything was California early days.
Yeah,
that's where the movie business was. Started in New York, and then it moved down here.
Yeah, right. It didn't even start in New York, Pilgrim. It started in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Edison started.
For us, that's New York.
the great train robbery was filmed in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Edison's studio and laboratory were in New Jersey. Menlo Park.
Yeah, what about Tesla? Because Tesla worked with Edison too, and Tesla was actually the real genius, even behind Edison.
Well, Tesla, you know, he was the whole electricity thing and this all.
Yeah, he was
direct current, but Edison, it's I don't think there's any challenge to Edison's having invented the moving picture camera.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he did invent that. And then the Jews capitalized on it. Yeah, that's it. That's ours. I mean, look at the Jews you had. You got Cary Grant was a Jew, and you got Daddy Kay was a Jew, and shoot, a whole flock full of them. Well, I think Katharine Hepburn was Jewish, too. She's also a lesbian, so could be.
Well, look who was running the studios.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the mill.
Mayor. Zanuck.
Well, yeah, but they were the ones that were able to secure the loans to build those studios.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I know a woman whose brother, he's dead now, but back in the 30s and 40s, her brother, a real good singer, went to California, went to Cecil B. DeMille and did an audition for him. And Cecil said, that's great. You got a great voice, kid. We can get you in the movies, but there's one thing you got to do for me. And he said, what's that? And Cecil DeMille stood up, zipped down his pants, and said, you got to get down on this. And she said that her brother turned around, walked out of Cecil B. DeMille's office, came back to Illinois, and never went back to California.
The whole business ran that way, and it still does today.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, if you don't want to believe that a lot of these actresses are on the director's couch.
No. People don't want to believe that a lot of these actors were on the director's couch.
Actors and both. Yeah. Either way, there's a lot of switch hitters in the field.
Hollywood's run by fags. I mean, you can't tell me that Brad Pitt and all those clowns didn't get where they are without without sleeping with those faggot ass directors and producers and
agents. Don't forget agents.
Yeah. Well, they thought that Tom Cruise was homosexual because he's the way his manners and so forth, and he hooked up with one girl and got divorced, and hooked up with his actors, got divorced. And so forth.
Guys get upset with me all the time. I pass the television set and I say, look at that whore. And they say, how do you know she's a whore? And I say, well, she's on TV. That's how I know she's a whore.
Well, look at the way she's dressed. Look at the way
her
manners.
She made it to the television, so she has to be a whore, is my point.
Well, that's true. That's right. give up your ethics and your morals and so forth. But you don't have
if you don't have a daddy in the business, there's pretty much only one way in.
Right.
Well, yeah, either you got a daddy in the business or you're going to go down on somebody. So, I mean, that's
right.
Great.
I mean, pretty blondes with no talent are a dime a dozen, right?
Yeah, that's true.
In Hollywood, I'm sure they are anyway.
I mean, people hate it when they find out Randall Scott was a homosexual.
Rick Tarr, all Jews aren't homosexuals. All Jews are omnisexuals. They'll have sex with
anything. Yeah, the switch hitters.
They'll have sex with rats, goats, elephants. It don't matter. Negroes, chinks.
You know those old guys weren't. John Wayne wasn't, I don't think.
John Wayne's a what?
John Wayne was not.
Oh, thank goodness. He's one of the rare ones. John Wayne also established an anti-communist organization amongst the Hollywood actors, and he was too powerful and too well-liked that they couldn't do nothing about it. But, yeah, John Wayne had a number of people in his organization that opposed the communism. Because, I mean, Burt Lancaster was a communist, and Norm Bacall was a communist. And,
General, when I need him, I want to know if Burt Lancaster was a Jew. General knows all those Hollywood kikes.
I don't know. He could have been.
I don't know. Burt Lancaster was very tight with Ben Hecht. Burt Lancaster had a production company with Ben Hecht.
Oh.
So if he wasn't a Jew, he might as well have been.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
Well, that Stars Over America was pretty well documented on exposing, even though
Danny Kaye's lover was Sir Laurence Olivier. Yeah, they were.
Now he was the prettiest man that ever hit Hollywood.
And then Sir Laurence Olivier got married, and old Danny Kaye really got upset about that. Yeah, and I've done some super stuff for the Lyric Opera here in Chicago, and talked to some people there. Of course, they've got a couple of homosexuals also in there. But one guy who deals with makeup and the like, and he says that Danny Kaye was actually not a nice person. He wasn't nice at all.
He was
very
Jew.
Mean.
How
and
could he be nice? I mean, that's an oxymoron. Come on.
That's true. He was, I mean, he was funny and he looked good on television and so forth. But, I mean, his last name was Kaczynski, David Kaczynski. But there's so many, I mean.
Well, pretty soon we're going to erase Hollywood from memory, period.
Gone forever.
Yes.
Hopefully we can be so lucky. We could be so lucky.
It's only the Canaanite idolatry business anyway.
It is. Oh, it so is. You have no idea.
I got a emailed about a year ago. I don't even know this person. I don't even know how he kept lying. I shouldn't say I don't know how he didn't get my email because it's out there in Never Never Land. But he sent me nude pictures of some of these actresses. I'm like, dude, what are you doing this for? I'm Angelina Jolie and Britney Spears.
You're going to the Bronx Zoo and looking at the simian cage, I mean.
My goodness. And, I mean, when I was in Saudi Arabia, we had one guy in my unit that got the porno mag with Britney Spears and Centerfold. And, of course, everybody there wanted to see Britney Spears. They went to his villa. And it was really weird. I was the only one in the entire villa that I was in. That was this living in at the time. Only one in the entire villa. Because they all went to his villa to look at Britney Spears naked. I'm thinking, who cares?
And that's not idolatry. That's absolute idolatry.
Yeah, it is absolute idolatry. I told these people, don't.
Take anyway. You're better
I told
off.
These people.
What was that religion?
Going down the supermarket and looking at ham.
Who were those, Bill, that worshipped the women and then the priests would have sex with them in the temple?
Yeah, the Canaanite.
What was that?
That's Baal worship, the Canaanite.
The Canaanite.
But I told him, I said, man, it's not worth it. Don't bother with that, you know. And especially in Saudi Arabia, because in Saudi Arabia, you go to the stores and you go to the magazine section, and they got a priest. And he's always with, you guys saw he's got a black robe on, he's got silver lining, and he's always with the police. He goes through the magazine sections, and any part of a woman's body that's shown, he blacks it out with a black marker pen. And it's really weird. You go by the magazine, you see women's blacked out her neck all the way down to her breast, and then from the bottom of her breast down to her waist is blacked out. And I went and I saw the swimsuit issue of the Sports Illustrated. It was the cover and the back of the issue, nothing inside it. It was all, the guy just literally took it all out of the, everything out of the magazine and kept the cover in the back of the magazine and put it on the shelf. We gotta have that in our own country. I have to give Muslims credit for at least that.
Yeah, they put on a good show and then they sleep with little boys.
Well, yeah. Muhammad was a pedophile. Muhammad and I had like 19 wives. I think one of them like 12 years old. But we did have a beheading there, though. Yeah. We had a beheading, but I didn't see it because the Americans aren't allowed to see it. But Saudi went to the Filipino souk, which is Filipino village, where they got prostitution. And while Saudis aren't supposed to go to whorehouses, we got caught. He got beheaded. So they did, you don't do that sort of stuff. But the American, that's not to see, but I was standing right in the area because they got a fort on one side and they got a big pavilion area and they have the grid on the cement which chopped the guy's head off and so forth. And so I was standing right there. But I didn't see the beheading.
Even in prison, the Muslims were always hanging out with the fags. They loved fags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you see, in Saudi Arabia is a big Muslim country. Okay? It's so big, it's such a big Muslim country that only Saudi women need to wear the burqas. They're the only ones that need to wear the headdress and cover their faces.
Well, they're probably doing the rest of us a favor.
Yeah. But the other Muslim countries, it's an option if they want to or not.
They should all wear burqas. They should all be forced to wear burqas, I think.
But anyway, it's only in Saudi Arabia where it's the law to wear burqas. So that's a chief Muslim country of all your Muslim countries. So...
Yeah, well, that's the chief cesspool, then. That's the way.
You see, according to the Quran, homosexuality is supposed to be illegal. Okay, now that doesn't mean it is. See, it's a Quran I went to the National Saudi Museum and I saw this beautiful Quran. It was in a glass encasement. It was gold inlaid. And sucker's like, 900 years old or so.
It's
beautiful.
You could get an old piece of camel dung and gold inlay that, too.
I know. But you see, according to the Quran, it's actually against the law for homosexuality. They kind of frown on it, except that Saudi Arabia is the place where all of these other people, other Middle Eastern countries go to for work. So I've met Iraqis, Iranians, and Sunnis, and Shiites, and Egyptians all over the area. Well, when they come in and visit the Saudi Arabia and work in Saudi Arabia, they can still be gay. And there's some provision in the Quran. So you're going to, like we were going to the PAT site, you see these workers, they're holding hands as they wait for the bus. They're holding hands and walking down the street and so forth. It's homosexual. But they're not Saudis, see? Only Saudis aren't allowed to be homosexual, so they say. So they're not allowed to
Unless your partner's under 12, I'm sure it's no good.
Yeah, but just, as I said, the Quran is actually for the Saudis. See, so that's what they say.
Well, it's all garbage.
I've heard
the Quran, it's garbage.
Sure, it is.
They have contrived dialogues between Christ and the apostles, and the apostles are telling Christ, "Oh yes, we're good Muslims."
Yeah.
All straight trash. I wouldn't line my birdcage with it if I had one.
Well, considering when you consider that Muhammad was an epileptic, that's how he got his visions. He'd go into a fit and start drooling at the mouth.
He got his visions from some Jew whispering in his ear saying, this is what we're going to write. You're going to believe it.
Well, yeah, but he was also epileptic. And so when he starts shriveling all over the ground and starts frothing at the mouth, people say, was thinking, he's got a vision.
Islam is basically the Talmud for dummies.
Yeah.
Was that like the vision that Martin Luther King Jr. had with those three sluts the day before he got shot?
Yeah, he was in bed with three or four white women. He beat up one white woman so badly that they had to call an ambulance, and he started to say, "I'm not a black man. I'm effing God." And that poor died. Mm-hmm. I guess the morning. Yeah, you got to read Abernathy's book, and the walls came tumbling down. I read that. But actually, I read and skimmed the book.
If a black man told me that he was effing God, I would have asked him if God was a man or a woman.
Yeah. I know, but that's what Martin Luther King, and Martin Luther King Jr. was an adulterer and a fornicator, and his wife, brought women to him, so.
I would have had to tell him that I think that guy tricked him last night if a black man told me he was effing God. Well, I think that guy tricked you last night. That wasn't God. His real name's Jose.
Yeah, he was a bum, and he died because of the communists lost and usefulness for him. There was a communist that killed him.
They got their civil rights stuff.
Yeah. And a lot of people didn't realize. Well, I even saw a small video of a former KGB agent who was being interviewed. And the interviewer asked him, "Well, what about these people that were involved in communism, involved in a lot of the war efforts, the civil rights, and so forth? What's going to happen to them?" And the former KGB agent said, "Oh, they'll just take them out." So when you take them out, you just kill them. He said, "Yeah." And the reporter said, "Well, you mean like Jane Fonda?" I said, "Yeah, just kill them. They've outlived their usefulness. Just take them out." So a lot of people don't even realize that, I'm not wishing death on Obama and all that stuff, but being that he's in service with the Jews and a lot of this, the satanic involvement and so forth, he's a good chance that he'll be just taken out and just killed.
I got to tell Guest 23 that the David Icke channel is on another station. This isn't.
What do you think about Ike's? I mean, he comes up.
I think he's full of shit, and he's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. He's an absolute deceiver.
Well, I wonder about that. He talks about the lizard people and reptilians, and
then he says that they're Scythians and Phoenicians.
Well,
he's an idiot.
I got it in his books. I got copies of it.
Yeah, and while he's got Arizona Wilder, that was a high priestess, and said that the Queen of England drinks blood, and they kidnap people, and they have sacrifices and so forth.
He should divert seekers from the truth.
Well, yeah,
he should go jump in bed with Kurt. He should go jump in bed with that Kearney and Alan Twat guy.
David Icke, Alex Jones, Graham Hancock, William Henry, Zechariah Sitchin, and probably three or four. They're all straight clowns.
Yeah.
They're all absolute clowns. The monotonic gold clown, I forget his name. They're all straight idiots. They're all lying. Every one of them is lying. I could take any one of them apart.
Well, yeah, it's just, I mean, I've got Alex Jones's one of his videos, and he actually says that that the Germans, they dressed up a prisoner in a Polish uniform and put him by a radar sight and killed him, and then said that the Poles were attacking Germany, and that's why Germans went into Poland.
Well, Alex Jones, a lying Jew.
Yeah.
He's a mutt. He's a mamzer anyway. I don't know how white people even listen to him. He's admitted being a mamzer.
Well, his wife supposedly is a Jew.
Being several parts Native American blood.
Yeah.
He's a Mexican. He's basically a Mexican. That's what a Mexican is. He might just be a wire looking.
Who's
Mexican,
that?
But he's basically a Mexican.
Interesting.
Who's that, Russo?
Who?
No,
Russo?
I don't know about Russo.
Alex.
Aaron Russo. I met Aaron Russo. I liked Aaron Russo. I really liked Aaron Russo when I met him. But I think his Freedom of Fascism movie is really, really good. And I think it tells
about truth. Well, he doesn't look white either.
But I don't know if he's
a Jew. He doesn't look like a white man.
But I don't know if he's a Jew, though. I don't know.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you're not white, you're not right.
Well, right. There's only two races. There's sheep and goats.
Oh, yeah, according to the Bible, which may be considered black and white.
I heard Aaron Russo was a Jew.
I don't know if he's Italian.
Russo worked for years in the garment industry. That's usually a good telltale sign.
Yes, it is.
What's that?
The garment industry.
He used to manufacture ladies' undergarments, bras. That sounds Jew to me.
The New York garment industry is controlled by Jews like 110%.
I think that possible, because I think he inherited it from his father or something. I think his father had done some kind of garment business and he wanted working for his father.
Okay, so his father was a Jew. You think then he's one?
Yeah. Well, shucks. But he also had a nightclub in Chicago, and
that's four strikes. That's six.
Yeah,
months.
Also Jew.
Sounds like Larry Silverstein's cousin.
Yeah, he's a Jew. Tails, he's a Jew.
Yeah. But his Freedom of Fascism movie is actually very, very good, though.
Yeah, well, like I think Clifton says, people that towards one conspiracy without, what was it called? Putting all your eggs in one basket.
Well, the Jews invented the conspiracies. It's like I read where the Jewish doctors actually say that the Jews are mentally ill, and they fantasize things. That's what they do with the Holocaust. They fantasized it. They saw these dead body, they saw all this other stuff, and they just made a complete mockery of everything, and they just said, well, we got a chance to make money. There are Jews right now that are getting compensation from Germany who never experienced any Holocaust, who never experienced any concentration camps. They were there. They weren't even born then. And they're still getting compensation.
But I was like 4 million Jews collecting.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Holocaust reparations payments. It's a war that happened 65 years ago. It's crazy.
It's proof that they're vampires. They never die.
With every decade, there's more survivors.
Well, I kind of wish I was in that predicament.
Church. I'm a survivor of the 30 years war.
Maybe I should contact Germany and see if I can get some money. I can say, well, I'm a crypto Jew. I can lie about it.
I got to make some T-shirts up. I have to make some T-shirts up that says, I'm a Holocaust denier survivor.
Do you know where I can get Christian T-shirts for that they've got the Christian Identity logos on them? Because I want to go out there and start.
Is there a
showing
Christian Identity logo besides the swastika, maybe? I mean, what's a Christian Identity logo?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's your on the swastika. Yeah, but I mean, just thinking about you know, Anglo-Saxon type shirts. And
I don't need any logos. I got a pretty cool cover for my book that somebody drew up. You should make that into a T-shirt.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, you mean your Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an idea. I'm going to get that. I should be getting it in a couple of days.
Good.
That's an idea. I never thought about that. Because, I mean, we used to have a Bible bookstore over here because it was Judeo-Christian, then a town in Elgin, and they closed the stores. I think you're going to get more and more Bible bookstores closing the doors, it seems. Just, you know, going out of business.
They should all go out of business, every one of them.
Yeah.
They're selling the Good News Bible and the Billy Graham Bible, the NIV. It's all garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, like I even showed, you know, Pastor Eli sent me an email, and he quoted from the NIV, and I wrote him back. I said, why are you using NIV? It was stylized by an outspoken lesbian. And he wrote me back, and he said, because it's a good Bible. I said, good Bible? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1, 2, 3, where it's actually where the NIV says it's good for man not to have sex, and at the bottom of the page it says, oh, it's good for man not to have sex with a woman. You know? And I even mentioned that, and I told Pastor Eli to look at the bottom of the page, and he never did respond to me after that. So I maybe get the hint. But Virginia Mollenkopf stylized NIV.
Yeah, I'm familiar with her.
And I even contacted what's his name? The guy, the head editor in Colorado Springs, NIV, and he said, oh, yeah, she was on the committee, and we didn't know that she was an outspoken lesbian for 3 months, and then we asked her to leave. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, she's an outspoken lesbian. That should tell you something. You know, outspoken means that she's going to say, hey, I'm a lesbian. Duh. But I got a letter from her that said that she was on the committee for like 2.5 years, and she only left until after she finished her work on the Bible. So, but yeah, people love the NIV. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the NIV is actually called the Gay Bible. Homosexual, well, I shouldn't say this maybe.
Well, I got an African Bible, why not a Gay Bible?
Yeah, that's true. But
homosexual. The African Study Bible, that's just absurd.
But homosexuals say they're quote-unquote Christian, which they can't be.
And then they'll tell us it really was Adam and Steve, right?
That's right. It's Adam and Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, those damn Masoretic Jews dropped those two letters out of the Hebrew.
Yeah. But it's...
And they just adopted Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Or had the angels whip them up in a test tube for them.
But they adopted Cain and Abel from the serpent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get involved in any of those Bibles. And I've got an interlinear Greek, Hebrew, Greek, English Bible, which is okay, but that's based on the Masoretic text. And so for me, everybody thinks the Masoretic text is the best text around. The only thing that's good is the Masoretic text, which I think is nothing but a lie. You know, but I don't even bother with that. I've got the new, what is it? Well, it's a Greek New Testament Bible right now with me. And I also got the Greek Septuagint that I use. I think somehow that the author of the Greek Septuagint, this Greek Septuagint, also kind of doesn't want to really expound on the truth, per se, you know. Wants to hide the simple fact that the Bible is kind of speaking out against a lot of the preaching that's going on today in our churches. You know, when you wonder why God doesn't visit churches and so forth, why God doesn't get involved with our country, well, he's got nobody that around to get involved with us, except a few of us. So, I think God's moving his people out. I really do. He's going to protect them and hide them. It's,
Well, we shall see.
Go ahead.
Hello, John.
Hello, John?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, right here. So, what's going on?
Oh, I just thought you'd, I'd say hi. I mean, you called in a while ago.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, I got a friend of mine who works in Universal Studios as a sound man. And he met Jennifer Lopez, he met Stallone, met Ben Stiller, people like that. And Jennifer Lopez toured the MTV stage.
You what?
He told, like, Jennifer Lopez a pig.
Well, he was probably being pretty accurate.
Yeah. She walks around like a queen. Stallone is, you know, he's just a nitpicky guy. But Ben Stiller was the worst. He tried to get like half the studio fired.
Who's that?
What he did was, you know, he rushed into the sound studio and he asked a friend, he says, like, the sound's off, the sound's off. And he's like, he looks at it, he checks it out, and he says, no, this is just fine. He did that like three times, and he kept telling him three times over, it's fine. And then after that, he said, those guys, you know, he tried to get half the studio fired.
Huh.
Or at least him and some other guy. And these people are prima donnas.
Oh, yeah, and in Hollywood and so forth, there's a Nicolas Cage you can't even look at. If he walks by you, you just keep on looking straight because you can't look at him. With Stacy Keach, and I work with Stacy Keach in Prison Break, and he's a real nice guy. You know, he's really down to earth. But there's some actors and actresses that, I mean, they got their, they're up on a pedestal constantly. You know,
I think the quicker all of us Christian Israelites turn off this goddamn Hollywood and radio crap and news totally, the better off we are.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Period.
That's true. That's true. Cause
I don't even listen to it. Watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I like to do the acting thing too, but I know I'm afraid to even bother with it because there's so much weird stuff going on and it's like, it's all sexually based. And it's all just
well. That's
garbage.
What we want. We're like cows chewing the cud with sex, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's the one escape that we can feel free. And it's stupid. So, I mean, each one has to deal with himself with it, you know.
Yeah, I just kind of get away from it myself. And if I can get it, the Miami History Channel, because I was on History Channel, and I was also National Geographic the first scene, and that's because I was in one of the conspiracy programs. They did 12 conspiracy programs for the History Channel, and I was in the one that was in about Martin Luther King, Jr. And I played Lloyd Jowers, and the one that actually hired a mafioso to kill Martin Luther King, Jr. And the idea that James Earl Ray didn't kill Martin Luther King. This whole concept of this entire program, it's like an hour long. And if you ever get a chance to go on the History Channel, you can probably see it. It's one of the 12 conspiracy programs. But that, I could probably do that okay. But a lot of the stuff, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I won't be in bed with a girl. I refuse to do that. I won't do the homosexual thing. And there's an awful lot of that just all over Hollywood. You know, it's sickening. And I just, you know, if I ever got interviewed on Jay Leno, I'd probably say, you know, these homosexuals ought to get a life and stop being stupid.
Oh, what's your name, sir? My name's Bruce. What's your name?
Terry.
Terry?
Yeah, Terry.
Have you ever read the lost books of the Bible of Adam and Eve in the cave where the But the devil was outside playing his musical instruments and all that. That's all Hollywood is. They're still there.
That's what it is.
Do their jig.
Well,
there's a little article on the front page of Christogenia that explains that. You know, it quotes a paragraph from Clifton, who was actually the first one that I know made that association. He made that in an early teaching letter.
Yeah, 66.
And it's pretty profound, I think. I'm going to read it just for the hell of it. I'm going to read it here as soon as I find it. The front page of Christogenia is really like three pages, and it's up there somewhere.
I think it's number 66 letter.
Here it is. All right. There will probably be those who will scoff at any reference to the three books of Adam and Eve. I'm quoting Clifton.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be pointed out from the start that the first, second, and third books of Adam and Eve are mostly allegorical and prophetic in nature and cannot be taken in a literal sense. And I would admit that they can't be. If they are taken at their face value, less than 5% can be comprehended. I will give you an example of such a case. In the 27th chapter of the first book of Adam and Eve, we read the following. When Satan, the hater of all good, saw how they continued in prayer and how God communed with them and comforted them, and how he had accepted their offering, Satan made an apparition. He began with transforming his hosts, all the Jews. In his hands was a flashing fire, a moving picture camera.
Really? Wow.
And I'm adding the commentary, right? And they were in a great light. He then placed his throne near, and the great light of the stage lights, right? He then placed his throne near the mouth of the cave, the television said, because he could not enter into it by reason of their prayers. The Jew, you know, real Christians wouldn't let a Jew in the house. And he shed light into the cave from the TV until the cave glistened over Adam and Eve while his hosts began to sing praises. That's the hosts began to sing praises. That's the Jewish choruses. And Satan did this in order that when Adam saw the light, he should think within himself that it was a heavenly light. That's the 1930s, 40s, and 50s American. And the Satan's hosts were angels, and that's what people think about their movie stars, and that God sent them to watch at the cave and to give him light in the darkness. Tell me that doesn't describe the advent of motion pictures and television in our homes. And every American family has an Adam and an Eve that allowed this Satan to bring this television set into his home. It's absolutely uncanny, man. It's incredible.
Wow, that is true.
I'm going to put a link to that article in the forum in case anybody wants to see that. I added a lot of my own comments to it just so people could understand how Clifton and had interpreted it, and I believe it. I absolutely believe it. That's a correct, a totally correct interpretation.
Huh. That's interesting.
A part of the book of Adam and Eve. It's too uncanny. It's incredible.
Now it's understandable why it's not in the
computer
Bible. Yeah, now it's understandable why it's not in the Bible. Well, it took a lot of stuff out of the Bible, the apocryphal books.
Well, it is in different verses and other allegories.
Yeah, because, well, the apocrypha actually tells the reader what happened to Israel, that Israel moved out of the Middle East area, went north and so forth. It kind of talks about the trek up north. And so they don't want anybody to know that. So,
like Paul mentions that Satan can transform himself into an angel of light.
Right. 2 Corinthians 4. And one actually 2 Corinthians 4 says that Satan is a god's world. So he's considered a god, little g. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he can, I don't think he can create out of nothing. but it just creates illusions. And that's what we've got in our country and our world today, none but illusions. A lot of the stuff on terror. I mean, whoever heard of war on terror? I mean, how can you have a war on what somebody thinks? You know, you can't. You know, it's just like when what's her name, Reno, Janet Reno, when she said, we got to, during the Waco, she said, we got to do this for the kids. We got to save the kids. So out of 89 people that died, 70 were kids. So she killed the kids to save them. It makes no sense.
That's a silver tongue.
Yeah,
Rick Parr, if you want to email me, I'll send you the best copy I have of that image if you really want it. I mean, I think I got like a 600 by 900 pixel copy that I use for the book. It would be better than blowing up the little one again. The little one, I shrunk it down with a graphics editor.
Me on your book?
Yeah, you know, Rick Tarr's talking about using this logo for something. If he wants, if he emails me, I will email him the large size graphic.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad for a T-shirt either.
I thought I had the large size graphic available on Christigenia somewhere, and I think if you go to the Christ-Reich site. And you go to Revelation chapter 1 on the Christ-Reich site, and then you click on the back. Check that out, Richtar. Check this out. Check this one out. This is the back cover of the Christigenia New Testament, which you don't see on Lulu. And when you click on that image, on that page, you'll get a huge cut. You'll get the large copy of the back cover. But also, if you email me
where is that anyway? I wouldn't mind getting that myself. Of course, it might be offensive because it got the Nazi signature. But who
there,
cares?
That's the direct link to the image of my back cover for the Christigenia New Testament.
The back cover
is a little different than the front cover. It doesn't say Christigenia New Testament. It has the Alpha and the Omega instead.
Okay, I know. You got apocryphal books here. Oh, my God, I have to check that out.
Those apocryphal books are only in Greek. I'm posting the Septuagint to the site a little at a time.
That's good.
The Greek Septuagint. I'm doing it because I hope in the future to start translating parts of it right on the site. And I can't make any promises about finishing it. I would like to eventually, you know, but that could take years. I mean, the Septuagint is a pretty big book.
especially when you're dealing with...
I could probably do, if I had nothing else to do, I could do 5 chapters a day if I had nothing else to do, but I mean...
Yeah, that's tough. Well, I don't know. It's old Hebrew, and that's the Jews that corrupted Hebrew to such an extent. You don't know.
The Septuagint's all Greek.
Oh, Greek. Okay, that's right. But it comes from the old Hebrew. So you have to even be careful about the seeing certain Greek Septuagints. So.
That was Obadiah 83. Obadiah that was, you know, here in the forums all the time. He's the one that drew those pictures. That cover design is his design. He asked me if I wanted him to make a cover design, and he asked me what I wanted, and I said, look, you do whatever you do best, and I'll use it for my cover.
I like that design. As I said, it probably offends some people because it's got a swastika in the middle of the cross. But who cares?
Notice it.
But I would mind getting that design that I can maybe get a T-shirt made out of it. Because I'm still looking for something. I mean, I can get Christian T-shirts, but they're basically based on Judeo-Christian ethics, and I don't want to do that.
I'm your average Judeo or average person walking around out there. They saw that. If you didn't point it out to them, they wouldn't notice that swastika.
Right, of course not. They're idiots.
Yeah. Oh, they, yeah.
Harry's an idiot.
Well, they don't even realize that the swastika is actually, I mean, it's actually a Christian symbol. So, yeah, I think it means something like hello or something, or good day, or... It's not necessarily a terrible thing. It's just that the Jews made it terrible by constantly promoting it as being an evil sign of Nazism and so forth, and Hitler and the like. But it's not, that's not true from what I've read. In fact, was it in Ireland? They found a sculpture. Not. Well, I don't know if it's really a sculpture, but they found an old stone actually, and it had Hebrew and Greek on it, so forth. It was actually in Ireland, and it had the swastika in the middle of it. And so they're thinking that this is probably, you know, 1,500 years old or more. And it had a swastika back in those days. So
I have examples of the swastika in archaeology that date back to the 13th century B.C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The swastikas that were found on Israelite door lintels in Palestine.
Yeah. Well, the one in Ireland could be actually older than I think. I can remember, can't remember where I saw it, but I saw it on one site on the Internet.
There are swastikas in Thrace and in ancient Troy and on Greek vases that date back to... Well, the swastikas in Thrace date back to the 12th, 13th century B.C. Swastikas on Greek vases from classical Greece that date back to the 6th century B.C.
Wow.
And for all we know, it could have been the ensign of King David, for all we know, who knows?
Well, yeah, I know. King David, he fought under three banners. The menorah, so it's just seven candlesticks. You ever look at the Jews, the Jewish menorah is actually nine candlesticks.
Use that as a banner, though. We don't know. I mean, that's Jewish wishful thinking.
Well, the seven candlesticks isn't Jewish. The Jewish
But where do we have it in the Bible that David fought under the banner of the menorah? Come on, show me, please.
No.
Yeah.
I know it's in Jewish writing, and they're lying, but it's not in the Bible. I'm sorry.
Well, he fought under Psalm 91.91.1. But no, and also the gold harp.
Well, the swastika also symbolizes the four encampments around of the tribes, 12 tribes. So,
well,
makes a lot more sense than a 6-point star.
Well, yeah, a 6-point star is a pagan symbol, but when the Israelites encampment, they had three tribes to the north, three tribes to the east, three tribes to the south, three tribes to the west, and the banners was Judah, which is a lion. And I think Naphtali was a chief tribe one side, and I think that might have been a man, or maybe it was a bull. Another one was a beast, like a bull. The other was an eagle. And that's how it was all set up with whenever they went out to war in an encampment. And the Ark of the Covenant was sitting right in the middle of it. So.
A what?
The Ark of the Covenant was sitting right in the middle. The Ark of the Covenant.
Oh, I see.
It's sitting right in the middle. The Israelites went out in a square, the three tribes on each point of the square, and the Ark of the Covenant would be right in the middle. And then, what's his name? The prophet's sons, Phinehas, and I can't think of the other guy's name. They did something stupid. They decided that take the Ark of the Covenant out into battle when they're told not to do so. You know, God said, don't do that because it's like mocking God. So they lost the Philistines. The Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, put in their temple Dagon. And the next morning, they found Dagon bowing down to the Ark of the Covenant. That must have been interesting. The next morning after that, Dagon, I guess his hand was broke off, and he was bowing to the Ark of the Covenant. So they returned it back to Israel. So, but Israel used to take the Ark of the Covenant with them in battle, but they would use it the proper way, hopefully, until Phinehas and his brother got stupid.
From what I understand, that six-pointed star is a star of Aster.
But it's a
you know, the host of heaven.
It's a Babylonian symbol. It's not the star of Israel. They call it the Star of David. But it's the Jews say it's the Star of David, but that's because they want to make it sound like David is a part of their race or part of their genealogy. And Dave's got nothing to do with it. He got
bunch of lion types.
But the star of David is a pagan, because Judaism comes out of Babylon. See, Babylon the Great is actually Judaism plus these other entities too. It could be part of the Roman Catholic Church, the Masons, the Illuminati, and so forth. But it's just, these organizations are run by the Jews. Because Babylon the Great is sitting on the beast. A lot of people make mistakes saying that the United States is Babylon the Great.
Well, no, it says the whore is sitting on the beast, and we're the whore. Israel is the whore.
Yeah. But Babylon the Great
is wearing the name
the
of Babylon the Great. And that describes our race perfectly. They've embraced the Jews. They've embraced everything. The usury which comes from the Babylonian Shitar. The
mm-hmm.
idea of democracy, which is first found in history in Babylonia.
Yeah.
I have the inscriptions to prove it. I mean, I have the book of inscriptions and the notes to prove it.
Well, communism is a Jewish government system anyway. And democracy, apart from a republic, will lead into communism, just like socialism, it will. Because democracy actually isn't a government in itself. It's the result of. Like socialism is the result of. But democracy by itself will lead into communism, because democracy is actually mob rule. And you can have freedom for other people, but you can't have them to the point where it's going to be mob rule. See, you have to bring them in, you have to rein them in. That's why you need a republic based on laws, based on God's laws. And of course, we did away with that, you know. So, but the Jews are running our country. And that's actually where Babylon sits in our government itself. And they're running the United States, which is actually the beast.
Hey, Bill, where was that seed of Satan in Pergamos? Where is that in Turkey? Or that was...
Well, Pergamos would be in modern-day Turkey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was actually at the extreme west of western coast.
Yeah.
It was on the west coast of modern-day Turkey.
Oh.
Well, Laodicea, too. Laodicea was... That you should. Laodicea was the worst church. A lot of people think that Laodicea might have been the Roman Catholic Church.
It's the last church.
Yeah.
It means, I translate Laodicea as self-righteous people.
Yeah.
And that describes today's evangelicals and Baptists perfectly and Catholics perfectly.
Yeah, that's true. Because about the names of a lot of these churches may not necessarily be a church in a certain location. It could mean a lot of other areas. Like you said, Laodicea is evangelicals, the Roman Catholics, the Baptists, you know,
when John wrote the Revelation, those towns existed and they all had Christian assemblies.
Yeah, that's
each
true.
Each one of those names means something. And
yeah.
I discuss all that in, Clifton Emma has had the the 14-part Revelation series on the on the Revelation, from the 14-sermon Revelation series from Comparay on his website, and,
mm-hmm.
and he has a lot of my notes, about 30 pages of my notes he added to it, and that's all on his website, and we go into all that. I mean, Comparay goes into it, and then I add notes to it, basically.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they were cities and everything, but now, in our time, it actually is broadened out to a lot of other areas. So, Laodicea is
my
a lot.
My plan for that Christ-like site is to eventually have my own Revelation commentary on it. That's my plan.
Yeah, but Philadelphia is the church that God's kept the doors open, and that is actually people that are...
That's the Bible we love. That's what he expects from us. That's
yeah.
what he expects from us first, I should say.
Well, yeah,
and
brotherly love.
Boy, you could have brotherly love. You better know who the hell your brother is.
Yeah. he's not talking
Patricia.
About all races and everything. He's talking about your own race, your own kind.
Well, of course.
You know.
Good night, Patricia, Pilgrim, Bill, Terry. Golly bless.
Good night.
And everyone else. Good night.
So what else is happening? I think I'm going to cut this off at one, guys. I'm tired as hell.
Oh, year one. Oh, yeah, it's 11:35 year. Huh. Okay. Well, yeah, I'm pretty tired, too.
Well, I mean, 4 hours is enough, don't you think? I mean,
I think so, yeah. I got in a little late, but that's okay. But it's nice to get the idea of what's going on here. So, but I'm going to see if I can get your cross and everything off of your Bible, and then maybe see if they can get a t-shirt made out of it, because, you know, I'll be liked by a lot of people, but.
Rick Tarr will sell you one. He'll get two made and sell you one.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, my email is pretty simple. It's isaiah14@clear.net, so it's pretty simple.
Well, he can't email you a t-shirt.
Oh, you can't? Oh, that's right, you can't. Okay. Well, just you can give me the information and everything, and I'll be glad to send the money. I'm going to be going to Indiana for a couple of weeks with the Civil Air Patrol. I'm going to be taking advanced ground school and observer course.
Check this out. I got from Sword Brethren. I just got this from Sword Brethren on
okay.
a site. There are some sick SOBs on YouTube, and they don't remove the shit they post. I was watching Hitler's Triumph of the Will speech with English subtitles. 2 minutes into it, it turns into a gay porno with two dudes making out.
The guy made a
troll video, and you think it's Hitler. It starts as Hitler, and then bam, fag sex and techno music.
Yeah, I have that.
Sick. The Jews will go to no length to pervert everything. It's incredible.
There was one site, I can't remember what it was, though, but it was dealing with basically the Christian identity movement and all that stuff. And I was watching, and all of a sudden, it goes into some guy going down another guy and everything, and the music, the weird music and everything. It's really bizarre. Yeah, they've done that. I don't know how they do that. I've been trying to figure out how and where to get it off of there, but... And it's just sort of weird. I tried for a long time trying to
get that off the site. Could Sword Brethren at least report it?
Well, I don't really report it to them. I mean, I guess you could report it, but, this would be pretty bizarre. And then it starts talking about, they said something like, you're all a bunch of faggots or something weird. Yeah. Anything to disrupt... the truth, you know.
There are some twisted people out there. It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're just twisted all over the place.
But it's spreading. And I don't get out to those places much. But I checked out your little Craigslist thing there,
yeah.
Bill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, the bunch that hangs out in those forums discussing things.
Yeah.
and these are just average people that are out there living in the world.
Right.
You know? It's really appalling. It's appalling.
Yeah, it's appalling. That's why I hit them, so I could smack them all in the face.
I go to Craigslist because they've got auditions for movies and television and so forth, or stuff like that.
Well,
this isn't
their regular commercial like ads, you know. This is, they have like, I guess, chat or forum things there.
Oh yeah,
and people just converse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it doesn't surprise me coming from San Francisco, but.
That's the gay capital of the world.
Oh, I'll put something about on a religious forum on Craigslist. I'll put something about all fags should die and quote a biblical verse. And I'll go look at and I'll always put a link to my site. And you'll see flags popping up all over that globe from San Francisco.
I could tell you some of the the things they got on Craigslist now for movies and videos. They got, are you an adult living with your parents? That's the new thing coming out, which is kind of interesting. Casting out for film trailer could lead to feature film role in Chicago. Here's one that's open casting for audition of a thriller. There you go. Does the microfilm budget is under 100K? So it's a small one.
Some fag might think he's going to have a thriller. The open casting.
Yeah, he can make $7,200 to $12,000 over the summer while helping charity. You know, you got to watch out for some of these because I've looked into them and
I don't think anybody here would be calling up on any of those ads, Terry.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen.
But you got to be careful because some of them are actually for porno films. And they won't tell you actually in the thing itself. You have to, like, contact the guy that's directing it, then he'll kind of blow the whistle on it. But I got one film, I think that was Space Capsule or one of them. I got off of Craigslist as an extra. But you got to really be careful because it's getting worse and worse. They got a nationally syndicated TV show coming up. Spokesmodel, female, young male, rock star type for video. But over the weekend, there was a rock band. I don't think they're having a graduation. There was a rock band that was just terrible. I mean, just terrible. And I had to listen to that whole thing because I can't stand rock and roll music and all that stuff. I just can't stand a lot of that stuff because it's so demonic, so satanic. I've got a friend that loves Pink Floyd, and he also loves Third Day, which is supposed to be Christian. But I don't know. There's nothing for the true Christians anymore. It's like we don't exist.
That's what they're hoping.
Hoping what?
That we won't exist anymore.
Well,
they just want their little Judeo brand running around out there.
Yeah. But I still think that God is bringing his people into a place where they're going to wind up. God basically says, either you're going to do it my way or not going to do it my way. One or the other. You got a choice. But I think that God's going to protect his own people and separate them. He's already starting to separate the sheep from the goats.
I think it's going to have to get a lot worse before people even wake up. Just think that, well, God was right. They're not going to wake up and say, oh, God was right, until it gets so bad that their countries get completely destroyed and overrun.
Well, yeah. They
don't even understand the concept of repentance anymore because they don't think it's necessary.
Well,
I mean,
so how can they come to repent and turn and change?
Well, you know, I was young. I when I saw some of these images, these harsh sexual images, it would shock the hell out of me. And it would be, you lose your innocence eventually, and you get inured to it, and then you just don't think, you become callous.
That's true, you do.
Hurt your brain to this stuff.
That's very true. It's like your brain gets sieved. It's like garbage. You got to really get, it's like you have to really pull yourself out of it and just do a lot of repentance. See, the church is all days. You repent one time. You repent, get saved, and then that's all it takes. They don't realize that Jesus Christ said, repent 7 times, 777 times. And when Jesus Christ says to forgive your brother, he's actually saying to resolve problems with your brother. In other words, to resolve it and go to face to face and deal with any problems they might have with your brother. And so a lot of people don't do that in the churches. I mean, I've gone to wakes and funerals where the brother and or sister of the deceased won't even go to the funeral because of what happened 40 years earlier. And so after a while, it never gets done, but God remembers it. And people are going to be held accountable for what they failed to do in order to resolve problems with their own brothers and sisters or friend or whatever it is. Because the church doesn't teach to repent on a daily basis. Repent several times, like Jesus Christ said 7 times, 777, which means for all the time, constantly repent.
You know, it's funny. I take it you guys are younger guys. And I don't know when you grew up. And I think Kaiser is also not terribly old. But I don't think you even... And you grew up in a world where it's totally different from what I grew up in. The things you grew up seeing, you would not have seen when I was a kid. You grew up in a world where you were raised either openly or clandestinely to accept situational ethics as being a proper way to operate.
That's true.
Or acceptable. Well, the means justify the ends, and any means justify my ends, these are all concepts, thought patterns, ways of dressing, ways of behavior. When I was a kid, I didn't grow up in the, best of times because it was all starting to come in when I was a kid. But there was enough residual left of some shreds of the prior culture that it hung on through the grandparents and the parents. I mean, the world you grew up in, even as children, was so alien that it's strange to think of. So these people who are your age or even younger, who have been raised in an ever-worsening culture, I mean, to try to get these concepts across to them is like telling them something. It's like being an alien who landed from another planet and trying to communicate it to them. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the whole concept of God and Christianity is just so lukewarm nowadays. It's so been kicked around to the point where the gospel that is being preached to majority of your churches is not the gospel of the Bible at all. And like I'm talking about 90. So I'm not saying all churches, because there's a church down in Arkansas that preaches the Christian identity, and there are other churches around the country, even around the world, that actually do preach it. But there's so far few between that it's, I know what you're saying. The situation ethics comes from, if I'm not mistaken, comes from Freud and from Fromm and a few others. And a lot of these people Freud was a Jew. Most of them were Jews, true. But they're also Satanists. A lot of your Jews are, 95% of your Jews are atheists. And a lot of them are actually leaning towards satanic things, the satanic ethic doctrines and so forth. And
well, they're all different sides to the same old coin, really, They're just expressing the same concepts in different ways.
If you ever get a chance to go on the internet and check out satanic sites, and you'd be amazed.
Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them.
Yeah. They believe
I worked in your business for many years, Isaiah. I was in the entertainment business for a long time. I was around homosexuals and Satanists and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, they just dress it up differently depending on which demographic they're playing to.
But it's amazing because I even had my sister look at the satanic sites that I've dealt with on the internet, and they believe in family, they believe in morals and ethics, and I'm thinking, no, you don't. It's all a facade. It's all a facade. That's all it is. And that's what
the
law
is.
Do
what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's their commandment.
Yeah. A lot of churches today are nothing but a facade. That's what believing in, you know, Benny Hinn and a few others. Of course, Benny Hinn is also a Jew, so I think he's an Arab Jew.
Well, it's the Mrs. Doubtfire movie with Robin Williams. You know, there are all types of families. You know.
Yeah. So I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing more acting work and so forth and getting into some of these things, but I don't know. It scares me. It really does.
It's a bad business, Isaiah. There is nothing good about it.
But what I don't understand, how can you call yourself a Christian? This is my aunt and uncle. They're sweet people, and they have a homosexual daughter. You know,
well, you see, they'll come up front about it. A lot of it's just, I mean, I was even looking at a video where they, like some of the cartoons, explicit homosexual things too, things from the fun. Even like some of the commercials, cartoon commercials and so forth, they express homosexuality. A lot of it's just so subtle. And if you're called to do something for a movie, and you don't know what's going to happen at the very beginning, they already tell you. Until it's too late. And sometimes you'll find some homosexual overtones and so forth. It's sort of like Tom Hanks was in the Philadelphia Story. He played a homosexual in that sucker. But then that's where you make your money, by doing what the Jews tell you to do. So it's all a Jew thing. Pretty unfortunate. But I'm looking at Craigslist now, the video part, and you got all these things. You got to be need a right-hand person with spunk.
I'm tired. I want to go to bed. And you guys can stay and talk, but I'm hanging up. I'm tired as hell.
I'm going to have to do the same thing. It's been nice talking to you all, but it's... You know, well,
there's
always next Monday and/or this or also tomorrow night, I guess, Tuesday
next
night.
Monday we'll be doing this on ChrisTagania.net. This is my last Monday here. I'm not putting up with this and crashing crap anymore. Everybody's had 3 weeks now, I think it is, to consider getting on ChrisTagania.net. So there's a few people that haven't done it yet, but
I did put a notice up on the forum in the Talk Show Radio schedule thread. So
good.
If they're lost and not sure what's going on and they go there, they'll find out.
Right. And I'll find a way to put a link. I don't know if TalkShoe will let me really do that, but I'll find a way to put a link in the program description.
Yeah, you have a very small program description. You might also put it in your user description. I think you might have a little more room there, your profile.
Yeah, right. That I could put it there. I didn't think about that. 27, ChrisTagania.net. I mean, it's the software's free. It ain't going to hurt you.
is that the TeamSpeak 3 client?
And we'll still be here on Friday nights and Saturday nights with Eli James and for the time being. But ChrisTagania.net, the program's free. It's called TeamSpeak. It's a commercial.
Oh.
It's a commercial software package. It's a real software package. It ain't no crap.
I got that.
The instructions are on the Connect page at ChrisTagania.net.
Yeah, I downloaded that already. I got it on my website. Not on website, but on my desktop.
Well, hit Connect and hit ChrisTagania. Type in ChrisTagania.net in the address bar, and you're in. Real
Okay. Gotcha.
And you'll automatically be directed to the open house channel, which is a free-for-all channel. But when there's a program, I'll put it on the main forum channel, which is moderated.
Okay, I'm out of knowledge. There's no server. How do I do that then?
No server? Well, there's three people on it right now, Pilgrim, me, and Papa Cat.
Not TeamSpeak 3.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, no. Hit connections and type christagenia.net into the address bar. Yes,
oh.
I will continue. I'm not going to post this show right now, I don't think. I'm tired. I'll post it first thing in the morning, 28.
Is it the same port, though, 9987?
I'm not going to stick around and wait for the program. I'm sorry. I'll post it first thing in the morning.
Okay.
When I wake up. It'll be posted by 9 a.m., 9:30 a.m. Eastern time.
I'm doing here. So I just type in christagenia.org. Okay.
No, christagenia.net.
Okay, .net. I'm sorry.
Let me
christagenia.net.